Clippers host the Mavericks at 10.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner.
Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
And here we go. Welcome in to another edition of Rothman and Ice. I'm Matty Ice. And across the board, I got my man CB doing his thing. And to my left, I got a former Buckeye and a national champion, the people's champ. Tyvis Powell is in the building today. T, it's been too long. We finally get to rock out together again. How have you been, man?
Working, Matty Ice. Yeah. Working. You know, the thing about me is when you have a beautiful wife and you have two daughters, like, they want a lot of stuff. So you got to work so you can be able to provide this stuff. Mm-hmm. So that's why you'll see me on the fan every day this week.
Santa Claus, 12 months out of the year is what you're saying. You're always providing the gifts.
That's correct. You know what I'm saying? And the good thing that's got me going is there's some new hip hop beef going on.
Oh,
that's
my goodness.
Keeping me energized and keeping me going and motivated every day.
We'll get to that in a second because something was in the air yesterday between sports and entertainment. Something was in the air. Thanks for joining us. We always appreciate your time. We're going to change things up just a little bit today with our programming. We usually talk to Adam Schefter at the bottom of the hour at 12:33 every Wednesday. He's going to slide to 1 o'clock. We're going to talk to Max Chadwick from Pro Football's Focus at 1:33 about all things college football. We've got ins and outs as well in the 1 o'clock hour. And then at 2:33, we're going to go out to Foxborough and talk to Mike DeBate from Locked On Patriots about their selection of Drake May and everything else they have going on. So yeah, I don't know what's happening in 2024, but this is turning into the year of the beef. This started with Cat Williams.
Yes, it did.
On Uncle Shay Shay's podcast. Now we've got Kendrick Lamar and Drake. We've got Chris Brown and Quavo going at it. The music world right now, the entertainment world right now, everybody has beef with everybody. And guess what? I'm here for it.
I am too, because I am King Switzerland on this. I am down the middle on everything. I'm neutral. Yeah. I have nobody that I'm cheering for more. I just like to hear good music.
Me too. And that's what we're going to get going in the summertime, the best time of the year. You fire up the cookouts, you fire up some of these crazy tracks, and it's going to be a good time.
I say all that, but we need more dance music.
I agree. Let's bring it
like
back.
The summertime's coming out. Like, we need the fresh. What happened to the Fresh Prince? Like, summertime.
Will Smith dropping another Bad Boys, by the way. But to your point.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Can we get the late 90s, early 2000s vibes back?
We need some feel-good music, that cookout music.
So you want to get your Harlem Shake on. That's
what
you're trying to do.
Yeah, you know, the knees are starting to feel good again. It's time for me to get back out on that dance floor.
I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. Let's start today, T. Well, last night in the sports world was crazy. You had some bangers going on in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
You had a brawl in Major League Baseball between Tampa and Milwaukee. And then down in the Houston game, they had a two-hour delay because of a beehive right behind home plate. And then you had the beekeeper who did his job. They granted him with the first pitch. I don't know what was in the air yesterday, man, but the sports world and entertainment world was
a lot
of fun.
You got to throw the first pitch.
I mean, he was out there grinding for 2 hours.
He saved the day.
He really did. They had to clear out the whole section behind home plate. If you were in that section, like those first three sections, you had to get out of there for 2 hours. The game was delayed.
Did he throw a strike?
I don't know. I didn't see the first pitch.
When I threw my first pitch for the back then Indians.
Yeah.
It was a little high. You know, it wasn't my...
Hey. Did you bounce it in there, though?
Not you.
Okay, good.
See,
that's all that matters to me.
I wasn't going
to
bounce it.
That's
what the dude said. He said, if you go error, make sure you throw it high.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I was pitching to Shaq, it would have been a strike.
Waist high to Shaq and Yao Ming, huh? That was good. Did you practice a lot before, or did you just go a couple throws?
I had a couple throws. Okay. You know, I'm like, it's a natural for me. I was like, I grew up playing baseball. I got this.
Yeah, because you can't be on your 50
Cent. But I never pit. Yeah, 50 Cent is he's out of pocket. I think he did that for clickbait.
Horrendous.
There's no way that he was dead serious about that.
Yeah, it was crazy. Absolutely insane. So the baseball world was fun last night, except for our two teams. You know, Reds and Guardians, they go down. But you guys are in charge right now.
Man,
in the AL Central, still in charge right now.
Like Matty Ice, I admire the fight. That's the one thing about the Guardians. They are never out of it. No matter how much they go down, they have the ability to come back. And we saw that on full display.
Yeah.
But Cookie, man, Cookie.
Time to hang it up.
You might be good for like, you might be a bullpen guy, like a couple of innings. Yeah. But man, after two innings, you got to come up out of there.
They got after him. They got after him early, to say the least. So yeah, it was a fun stuff going on around sports. And then up in the land, Cavs get it done.
Mm.
Had to sweat it out a little bit.
Big night.
Against Orlando, but you had Evan Mobley with the block heard around the world.
Yeah.
And I know for some Cavs fans, you know, it's kind of been a roller coaster ride with him, with his expectations coming into the year, the way he finished last year, especially on defense, and what, top three, top five in defensive player of the year voting.
Second.
And all that good stuff.
To the guy from Memphis, Jared Jackson Jr.
Yeah. But he showed why in that play. Well, he's an elite defender, because Paolo Banchero, if you watched the game, you saw why he was one of the top draft picks just a couple years ago, because he was getting buckets with the best of them. Mm. And Evan Mobley said, Franz Wagner, no, you're not getting to the rack on this one.
To be honest with you, that was on Franz Wagner, the reason why they didn't tie the game up on that layup. Fundamentals, man. That's the thing. You know what? That's what's wrong with these kids today, Matty Ice. They out there and they get cute and they get fancy. He wanted to go with the right. If he would have just went with the left, he would have shielded off Evan, and it would have been a bucket.
But he went with that right.
And gave him an opportunity, and he took it.
And he took advantage of it. So that's a big time win, right? With no Jared Allen coming into the game. He did not play at all, obviously. His rebounding has been incredible throughout the series, but this Magic team is making the Cavs earn it. I mean, their defense is for real, and you've seen struggles. Like, I know Darius Garland, he got off to a great start. First quarter,
it's about time.
Banger of a first quarter for him, but right, to your point, it's been a peaks and valleys series for Donovan and Darius when it comes to their offense consistently. But yeah, he hits him with 17 points in the first quarter, and that's what we know he's capable of.
Yeah.
Just for whatever reason, he just hasn't been locked in all the time.
But the thing about him what makes me laugh about him is, if even though he's not putting up the points, he's shooting well. Yeah. Like, it's like he the couple of shots he take a game, he actually makes them. He'd be like 4 for 7 or 4 for 6 or something like that. Last night, he shot really well, and he just was more aggressive. And, you know, that was the big message that JB and everybody on the team has been saying. Like, you get aggressive. Like, this team knows that you're looking to pass. If you come out there and change that and just be a scorer, you'll make a lot of more plays. And it was nice to see him come out. I projected that he would get his over of 15.5, and he would get 4 threes. He left me hanging. He had 3.
Isn't that the worst?
I laughed.
You get that close.
I just laughed. I was like, yeah.
That's all you can.
I'm like, one more?
That's all you
just
can.
Just one more.
And you know, probably one of them was in and out. One of them that he missed on the other side. It's a cold world in the betting game. It really is. But then also, you saw in the game too, right? Like, one of the big acquisitions this offseason, Max Strus. He steps up.
It's about time for him too, because he was like a deer in the headlights.
Really, it was
him and Niang. Both of them got huge playoff experience. Max Strus just went to the finals last year. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, in big moments when we need those big shots, he's the guy that we're going to look for. Obviously, everybody knows, if you've been watching the game, you clearly see that Donovan's not 100%. And he hasn't been for the tail end of the season. So coming into this, you couldn't expect that much from him. And as this series goes on, he's going to only get worse. So that's why I wanted them to sweep him so he can get the rest. Mm-hmm. But they blew that. So
seems like we're going to 7 with the way that this series is
Ain't nobody went on the road.
Going back and forth. Exactly. Because when the Cavs went down to Orlando, that was a nasty product.
I don't even.
A nasty product.
You know what? I don't even really want to talk about that.
Use the Men in Black, the zapping tool.
That right there. I've never seen people. They just gave up.
It was crazy.
They just literally gave up.
To your point, though, like, the third quarters in those games down in Orlando were a mess. Yeah. Cavs did a good job of winning the third quarter yesterday, 27-23. But in game 3, 16 points in the third quarter. Game 4, they scored 10 in the third quarter in an NBA game. So that was just absolutely a joke from them. But they got it together. You just highlighted what Max Strus did. You brought up George Niang. JB Bickerstaff.
Benched him.
Went away from him. Good. And Marcus Morris said, I will take those minutes, and I'm going to knock in some critical buckets late in the game and lead them to a victory. So Cavs get it done, 104-103. Game 6 will be in Orlando. If you didn't catch what happened at the Garden yesterday in New York, you missed an incredible game, because this Knicks and Sixers series is off the chain. Right now.
I don't know what happened to MB, but Maxie said, I ain't going out like that. That's what you need. You know what? I respect Tyrese Maxie so much more now because he was like, you not going to do nothing? Get out the way. I do it.
46 points in the garden for Tyrese Maxie after one of the buckets.
In the garden.
In the garden. 46 points for in one of the toughest venues. I guess in all of sports.
At least we know the lights ain't too bright for him.
Not for him. And Embiid's looking around. Oh, I can roll with him for the next few years.
Oh, yeah.
I can roll with him for the next few years.
The question is, can Maxie roll with Embiid? That's the question.
Because his availability is always in doubt or questionable, right? When we get to the most important time. But one of the funniest things coming out of last night, if you missed it, Tyrese Maxie hits a big bucket.
Yeah, he did.
And he's hollering, going up the sideline. And John Stewart is just in awe. Like somebody just told him that all his money in his bank account just got stolen. And then after the same bucket, T, there's a meme going around of Tracy Morgan sitting on the sideline giving him the finger.
Yeah, I saw that.
The finger. So, no, that was just, it was a lot of fun last night around the NBA. And look, Maxie on the East Coast right now is emerging as a superstar. And out West, you got Anthony Edwards, a 22-year-old star in the making that just got Phoenix and KD out of there in four games.
He took the Suns. So when he dunked on KD, he might be Jordan reincarnated.
I mean, that's what they're saying. It's hard to push back on that. We got a long way to go.
Jimmy Butler in the playoff Jimmy is definitely Mike reincarnated, but Anthony Edwards,
22, doing this,
man,
it's wild. Yeah, league's in good hands. So we talked about it a little bit yesterday, changing on the guard a little bit. In the NBA, LeBron, KD, Steph, all out of the postseason, all these young stars are taking over and playing at a very, very high level. So I'm here for it.
It's a guy that's in Milwaukee that should be the face, but
could be lurking in the weeds for game six. That's what Doc said.
They need him.
Big win last night.
Listen, the second team and the bench, they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Fight to see another game. Get your starters another day of rest, and hopefully they could be available. They need him in the worst way right now.
You may get Damian Lillard and Giannis.
If they get both of them back, it's no excuse.
Indy's in trouble. Coming up, why did Felix Okpara decide to leave Ohio State? He sat down with the Columbus Dispatch and gave his reasons why. We'll share those with you next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Bo Bishop is a media legend. We have no idea where the other guys came from. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus. Windows and doors that go beyond.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, Tyvis Powell, the former Buckeye and national champion, in the house today for AR. You know, you had the office smelling good before we came into the studio, man, with your lunch. You had some loops going on today.
Loops, man. Common Man put me on about a year ago. I was like, what's a good, I call them gyros. They call them euros.
Right.
His gyros to me. I asked him, what's a good gyro spot? And he was like, he recommended Loops.
Yeah, they'll get you right.
And I had it, and it's like my third time having it. I'm like, you know what?
They've been rocking out with the station for a while. Man. Like, we've been big fans of Loops for a long time. Loops. Speaking of Common Man, have you seen him on the Diners, Dives, and Dives episode on Food Network at Loops? He's on an episode.
Common Man.
The show with Guy Fieri. You can look it up.
That man that's in there right now.
When they came to Columbus.
Are you serious?
And went to Loops. Common Man is in that episode talking about it. See, you got to check it out.
Common Man is very modest. He don't really do a lot of bragging and stuff like that. So I would never know that.
Yeah, so we'll do it for him. But yeah, check it out, man. That's what he's doing in there. He probably hates that I even
brought
that up.
Wait until we go on our next break. I'm going right out there. Can I get your autograph?
So you had some egg rolls. You had a euro today.
Little gyro roll.
Oh, gyro.
Stop calling them euros. I had a little gyro roll today, and then I actually had a gyro. But see, I don't like onions though. So classic gyro, extra tzatziki sauce.
Okay.
No onions.
So you do no onions on anything?
Yeah, I can't. I
love a good onion, man.
That is disgusting.
That's like a caramelized onion, like a burger.
Disgusting.
Then you get the hot dog seasoning.
It actually throws the taste of the whole thing off.
Okay, do you like hot dogs?
Yes.
So what do you put on your hot dogs?
Ketchup and mustard.
And that's it?
I mean, unless it's a chili dog. Unless it's
all
a
I need on my hot dog is yellow mustard and just raw onion, white onion. The best way to top a hot dog right there.
You had me at yellow mustard, but you just kind of threw it away when you put through the onion.
See, I don't think ketchup belongs on a hot dog, in my world.
What are you, from Chicago?
No, I'm not from Chicago, because I don't like how they put pickles on their hot dogs.
I can rock with that.
The Chicago style.
I can rock
with that. It's just the spear.
I need the ketchup, though.
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
I don't need, that's
with
a lie.
With the pickle, with the pickle and the ketchup, maybe I don't know how that balances on my palate.
Maybe that don't sound that great.
What throws me off about the pickle is the spear. It's too much pickle on the hot dog. That's where they lose me with that, with the Chicago style dog.
They should just fry them. I like fried pickles.
Love them.
Yeah.
But they got to be the chips.
You like the chips over this?
The chips.
I'd take them either way. That matter to me.
Get your little ranch on the side.
Yeah. Or some Southwest sauce. Woo.
That's a win. Man. All day and tomorrow. Let's get to some Buckeye basketball talk, because there's a lot of movement this offseason with guys going in the portal, guys coming through the portal to Columbus. But one of the most recent departures was Felix Akpar. And we found out not too long ago that he's leaving Columbus to go down to Knoxville and get coached up by Rick Barnes. And our guy Adam Jardy, who does a great job of covering the Buckeye basketball program, got some quotes from Felix Akpara, and here's one of his reasons why he left. He said, quote, "I was thinking of my last 2 years playing college basketball and how I want to make it better and at least win and go to the NCAA tournament. I was at a point where I had to decide what's going to be best for me. It's been really tough these last 2 years at Ohio State basketball wise. It was a personal decision." He went on to talk about whether or not Aaron Bradshaw was the reason why he left. And he said, quote, "Bradshaw didn't really have anything to do with this. When I was committed to come back, when everyone started leaving, I started questioning. That had been going on for like a week before Bradshaw even committed. Me and Aaron were completely different players. It really had nothing to do with him." When you hear those quotes from Felix Akpara, where does your mind go?
My mind tells me that he doesn't believe in the team. That's what he's saying without actually saying those words. He looked around. He seen Roddy Gale leave. He saw Scotty Middleton leave. He was like, you know what? I don't think those are key guys. I respect their game. I think they're big contributors. I'm not really sure what we have left. You know, yes, we got Bruce, but Bruce can't do it by himself. And they had Meechie Johnson. Maybe he doesn't believe in Meechie Johnson that much either. But to me, when he says, I wanted to go somewhere where I could try to make the NCAA tournament, like, that tells me that you don't believe in the quote unquote rebuild. Mm-hmm. And they don't call it rebuild. They call it reload. You know, you got a new coach in there, a coach that everybody seemed to gravitate to. Y'all started playing better. Y'all was playing y'all best basketball under him. And you don't think that that's good enough. So to me, it just tells me that he doesn't believe in the coaching staff and he doesn't believe in the rest of the players there, that he thinks that they're good enough to make the tournament.
Yeah, it's hard to push back on anything you said.
That's what he said without saying.
No question, right? And like, part of me doesn't all the way believe him on the Bradshaw part, but that's what he says. Because I like it, especially in the world that we're living in, right? Where NIL is always involved with all of these decisions, and Bradshaw was a guy coming from Kentucky that, look, he's got a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. He didn't get to play a bunch at UK under Cal. And it's going to be interesting to see how Bradshaw does handle that, right? Coming over, he played, 13 minutes a game mm-hmm. last year. Now he's looking like he's going to have to be able to play 20, 25 minutes plus a night here in Columbus.
The thing about them is they were like polar opposites. You know, when you look at Felix is a defender. He's a rim protector. When you look at Aaron, he's actually a post-move shot maker type of guy. So they actually would have been perfect interchangeable. But I think that when you look at today, you know, Aaron is 7'1", Felix is 6'10". So that's a little bit of a difference there. But I think that sometimes people weigh that offense over that defense. I mean, you think about just the NBA, you'd rather take Nikola Jokic over Rudy Gobert. Mm-hmm. You know Rudy going to stop you at the paint, but I want the guy that can score as well. Right. So maybe that played a part of it too.
No question. To your point, there may be some give and take going on here, right? Because mm-hmm. Bradshaw is going to come in potentially with a higher ceiling on offense. But to your point, we saw Akpar, he's one of the best shot blockers in the conference.
Like 2.6 a game or something like that.
So what are we going to get from Austin Parks? That's now a question, right? When you talk about the size, because Zed Key is no longer here as well. And Zed could do some good things for you when he got minutes out there on the floor.
How tall is Devin Royal? 6'8"?
He's somewhere in that window, 6'8", 6'9", on top of my head.
Okay, that's decent size.
I'm glad you brought him up, because that's a guy that this is a huge summer for him.
Oh, he better.
Right? Big-time recruit coming out, local guy. Now here we are with an opportunity to get in the front court, get out there on the wing, and do some things, because up top, it feels like what you're going to get from Meechie and Bruce should be offensively in a good spot game in and game out, yeah. Right? I know for Michi coming from South Carolina, you look at some of the efficiency, that hasn't been great. That's who he's been his entire career. I don't know if you're going to get a major uptick in efficiency from him, but he's one of those guys, you know, in basketball, he's not going to shy away from the moment.
No.
He's going to want the ball,
yep.
And I think he's going to hit some tough shots, you know, late in games or in critical moments for Ohio State this year.
I think for a backcourt, I think they actually work perfect together because you got Bruce who wants to get everybody involved, but then you got Michi who's kind of like, give me the ball. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want right. you to find me and give me the ball. I'm going to take those shots. I'm going to drive to the lane and do all those things. So they kind of work perfectly. It wouldn't work if you got two guys that's about the same that wants the ball and wants to do everything. So I think those two work out there. The only question mark is the shooting on this right. team. That's, we got to get us some sharp shooters out there because obviously you're losing Jamison Battle, who was the guy. Mm-hmm. We got to find a way to replace him. You cannot win this game without shooting. That's just how the game
is
today.
Right. You're so right. And to add to your point, Scottie Middleton, too, was north of 40 a clip.
Yeah, he
from
was.
Three. So you lost two guys on the wing, on the perimeter, that could really give it to a defense from outside. And we saw even from Battle, especially late down the stretch, like it wasn't just three-point shooting. He was putting that thing on the floor.
Which shocked me when he hit the up fake and went to the rim and dunked. I said, I didn't even know he could do that.
Yeah, it was crazy. So look, you got Micah Parrish who comes in from San Diego State. He's been a spotty 3-point shooter throughout his career. And I don't even know if they're completely done building this roster, but you know, losing Akpar, no question. It's a big hit on defense. And the reason why he picked Tennessee, he says, quote, they're a really good defensive team. They've had success the last 5 years. They've been top five defensively in the country. And I'm a defensive player. I feel I can come in, produce right away. They have a really good coach in Rick Barnes. I feel like I can learn a lot from him. So from the X and O side of things, that makes total sense.
Yes.
Because Tennessee's been putting people in handcuffs the last few seasons.
Not to mention, I think he's from Chattanooga, Tennessee, so.
Going home.
Exactly. He probably grew up like, I want to play for the Volunteers.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Absolutely. CB, you just got mayor about Shefty. What do you got on him?
Yeah, he says he can do his normal time if you'd like.
Okay, we'll roll with that. We'll roll with that on the fly. We'll come back and talk to our guy, Adam Schefter, about all things NFL after this. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by Bet365. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365.
All right, welcome back in. Matty Ice. I got the former Buckeye Tyvus pal in for AR today. We're going to use the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now and link up with our guy, Adam Schefter, the ESPN NFL Insider. Schefty, happy Wednesday. How are you, my man?
Matty Ice, Tyvus, how you guys doing today?
Doing well, doing wonderful. Well. Schefty, I want to start in Atlanta and just get your opinion on, I think, the pick that shocked a lot of people in the first round, and that's Michael Penix going to Atlanta, now behind Kirk Cousins. Your thoughts on that and what has been kind of the reaction around the league since that pick has been made?
Well, there's no doubt that that's the pick that has generated the most debate, and I can see the arguments on both sides. And again, I think that both sides have a case. Number one, if you believe in a player that much, like the Falcons believed in Michael Penix Jr., I got no problem. You go take him. No issue there. It's a quarterback, most valuable position in sports. All great. Also good there. No issues there. I think that the bigger thing that I have a question about is, number one, I think they could have traded back to, at the very least, number 10, gotten an extra draft pick from the Jets who had an interesting coming up. And so you could have gotten Michael Penix Jr., in my mind, at 10, gotten an extra fourth, and it's just one more defensive reinforcement that you have. Number two, if you were all in on Michael Penix like that and you knew you were going to be that, then why would you give Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed 5-6 weeks earlier? Like, that's interesting. Now, again, I think that they felt it was so important to basically tie up that position, but they obviously devoted a lot of resources, a lot, in terms of free agent dollars and draft capital. But on the flip side, they signed the number one free agent. They drafted a quarterback that they loved. And they've got two quarterbacks now, so they should have that position taken care of for years to come, conceivably.
Shefty, I'm going to keep you right there at the quarterbacks. When you look at the ones that went in the first round, which quarterback do you think is walking into the best situation?
I think a lot of it is about who is your coach, the coach you'll be working with, and who is the team that's surrounding you with. And I think you look at, Caleb Williams got a great cast around him. Jaden Daniels has some strong coaches and personnel. Drake May's going to have to wait a bit behind, in my mind, Jacoby Brissett, which is a good thing while they build the personnel there. Michael Penix is going to wait behind Kirk Cousins. J.J. McCarthy's got a great coaching staff, some great offensive personnel, really good spot for him. And Bo Nix has got a coaching staff that also is fully behind him, some decent offensive personnel. And anytime Sean Payton is your rabbi, so to speak, you're going to have a real chance to succeed. So I don't like the situation for – it's not like I not like the situation for any of these guys. They all have – certain strengths to the spot that they're stepping into, but obviously, some teams have better personnel, some teams have better coaching, some teams have better situations. So I think you could argue strengths for all of them.
Adam Schefter joining us here on the Fan via the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Schefty, the future seems to be really bright down in Houston, and one piece of that is Tank Dell. But coming out of this weekend, it seems like he was involved in a pretty scary situation. Hit us with the details on that.
Well, from what it seems like, he was in the middle of crossfire, and there was allegedly a 16-year-old that was arrested shooting at a place in Florida. Here's the deal. We don't know what did and didn't happen. I just think it's another reminder. And, Tank Dell, I don't know how old he is, 22, 23 years old. You can't tell guys not to go out, not to enjoy their lives. I just think, again, I'm an older guy. It's easy for me to say because I did go out at that time. Like, when you have that much to lose and you have that much going on in your life in a good way, I would be so careful about everything that I do. It's just not, it's just not worth it to me, to risk it. So I don't love that. But guy's got to live his life. And he was very fortunate not to be hurt worse than he was.
Adam,
one
of the biggest things during the draft was actually with the 49ers and no wide receivers between Deebo and Brandon Ayuk. They take Ricky in the first round. Is there a way that all three of these guys stay on this roster this year, or do you think one of them gets traded? Speaking of Ayuk and Deebo.
Well, I can tell you this, that their plan is to keep all of them right now. Now, could that change? Sure, that could change. But the plan right now is to keep everybody. And here's the deal. Like, Brandon Ayuk is headed into the last year's contract. They've been trying to get an extension done, haven't been able to do it. We'll see if they can bridge their differences. But Ayuk is headed into the last year of his deal. Juwan Jennings is headed into the last year of his deal. And then you got Deebo Samuel in the last year of guaranteed money. So, he's got 2 years left in his contract, Deebo, last year of guaranteed money. But that's the situation. So I think the plan is to keep all of them.
Okay. Shefty, down in Cincinnati, the Bengals have got a couple disgruntled players in Trey Hendrickson and T. Higgins. Any update on what's going on with them or what could happen, or are things still about the same?
Yeah, yesterday, we're in a situation here with these guys where the draft comes and goes, and if they're not traded and they're still on the roster, the chances of them being traded diminish tremendously. And the Bengals view it as a team being in a position to compete for a Super Bowl title and to get to the playoffs. They're not looking to trade these guys, even though they're not happy with their contractual situation. They both want new deals. Neither player's happy right now with the situation in Cincinnati. But the Bengals, they're operating like, okay, we know you're not happy. That's the way it is. T. Higgins You're on the franchise tag. Trey, you are basically on a deal that's going to pay you $15 million this year. You committed to that. And they're willing to take on whatever consequences come along with players being unhappy rather than moving them. And that's kind of where they're at. So I don't think that they're going to move on from either player.
Shefty, the Cleveland Browns decided to take, obviously they didn't have a first round pick because of the Deshaun Watson trade. With their second round pick, they got Mike Hall from The Ohio State University. Were you shocked that they went defensive tackle instead of a wide receiver with this being such a wide receiver heavy draft?
No. That was a guy that they liked. That was a guy they wanted. That was a need that they felt they needed to address. You know, I don't have an issue with that. That was something that they felt was important. So, obviously, a guy they felt really good about. Because there was a lot of good talent in the draft at that spot. And for the Browns to go in that direction at that time tells you that they really valued him. And so, no issues there in my mind.
So Zeke's back in Dallas, Shefty. Are the Cowboys done addressing the running back position, or do you think they could maybe even add one more?
Well, they could add one more if they want. It's a question of, who do you want to add? Do you want to add Dalvin Cook? You could go do that. You know, he's still out there. I'm sure he'd have an interest in going into Dallas. The running back market, not exactly robust right now. So, again, we'll see how it all shakes out, but I think Dallas feels like it's kind of set. Like they got Ezekiel Elliott, got Rico Dowdle, got Deuce Vaughn, got Royce Freeman. Again, you and I wouldn't look at the backfield and say, wow, this is one of the best backfields in the league. But I think they feel pretty good about it right now.
Shefty, when I look at the Buffalo Bills, obviously they lost Gabe Davis and they lost Stephon Diggs this year in offseason. Do you think that they did enough to replace that talent and put enough around Josh Allen? Because Tom Brady was on a podcast and he said that Josh Allen is the quarterback that he sees getting the ring that doesn't have one first.
Here's the deal. Sometimes there's addition by subtraction, and as great as Stephon Diggs is, and he's great, everybody could see that he wasn't particularly happy there the last couple of years, and everybody felt like there was a lot of gossip, didn't show up for the mandatory minicamp last year, issues of him wanting to be there, his brother advertising that he didn't want to be there. Sometimes that stuff detracts from a situation. So if you move on from him, are they as talented? No, they're not. No team can be better moving on from Stephon Diggs. But could they get great production and could they have an effective room and do it then? Yeah, like we've seen that happen all the time. I remember one of the very first teams I ever covered was the Denver Broncos, and they had these high-profile wide receivers, Anthony Miller, free agent wide receiver, Mike Pritchard. Denver moved on from both, and everyone's like, wow, how do you replace Anthony Miller and Mike Pritchard? And lo and behold, they had a couple of guys that were waiting for their opportunity, Ed McCaffrey and Rod Smith, and they won two Super Bowls. So just because Stephon Diggs is the name and he's not there doesn't mean that Buffalo's production is going to drop off a cliff right now.
Going to be interesting to see, no doubt about it. Shefty, we appreciate you as always, and we will catch up with you next week, my man.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too. There he goes, Adam Schefter, the ESPN NFL insider. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Real quick, T, you mentioned the Bills. The only thing I don't understand is trading with Kansas City in the first round and allowing Kansas City to get Xavier Worthy. It may work out with Keon Coleman, but trading with a direct competitor who you've been going head-to-head with, who you're trying to get through to get to a Super Bowl?
I mean,
that's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds.
I never thought about it that way. That was... Maybe it's the Xavier Worthy. Maybe they look at it like it's fool's gold. Good. That's who we want y'all to take. Good.
But you know how it's probably going to work. Xavier Worthy's probably going to be hitting big plays.
We thought Kadarius Toney would be that.
It's true.
It didn't work out.
Some of these speedsters, you never know, right? I mean, you could be Anthony Schwartz or you could be Deshaun Jackson.
At the end of the day, I think Keon Coleman is a good. It's nice for Josh Allen, a big body guy you can throw the ball up to and go over guys to make plays.
But man.
You also got a guy that you can't even overthrow? Woo, that would be nice,
exactly.
too.
Coming up, there's been a lot of speculation over the last 24 to 48 hours about what's next for LeBron James. The King himself took to Twitter to clear things up. We'll tell you what he said next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Common Man has spent the past 18 years telling you how much he hates people. And yes, that probably means you, too. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan. There's nothing like ripping off your pants and enjoying some lobster bisque. This is Rothman and Ice.
That it is. Matty Ice, Tyvis Powell in the house today. Probably a little too hot for lobster bisque today, TB.
It is. It's not that season right now.
I mean,
I can enjoy it now. Don't get me wrong.
We go
to a nice steakhouse or a nice seafood place, and I see lobster bisque.
It's going down.
You got to get it. Like, because just, it's so hard to find good lobster bisque. And if you find it, whew.
Oh, when you get those little gems, those little nuggets of lobster in there.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like to take a little bread, too, T, and dip that in there.
Yeah, that sets it all the way off.
But
man.
I can be a year-round lobster bisque type of guy.
No, you're not wrong. I ain't say it was wrong. You could do that.
You know, just come in the house, turn the AC on.
That's like, I was trying to explain to my wife that, you know, the boots, Timberland boots.
Yeah, yeah.
I call them butters.
Right.
I was explaining to her that you could wear those all year round. And she looked at me like I was insane.
I mean, you can get away
Batty Ice, in 100 degree weather, you can wear butters. And nobody in Cleveland, this is in Cleveland, they won't say anything. They'd be like, oh, he's fresh.
It's definitely a Midwest East Coast thing, for sure. Like, you know, I grew up in Baltimore. A lot of people I know were from New York, too. And that's like the Timbs.
Oh, yeah. In New York, you could definitely 100% all year round.
White tee. Yeah. Jeans and some Tims, and you can get it done. Like, that's a kind of a staple in New York.
Yeah.
White tee, blue jeans,
and butters.
Butters, and a Nike and a New York Yankees fitted.
Yep.
Like, that's what you see a lot.
You'll see that is the common, that's the go to. If you just chilling, I'm chilling. That's
all
what I'm
long.
Wearing.
But I don't think I can go boots in the summer unless at night we're going to a dinner. But I'm talking like a dress boot, like a Chelsea boot.
No,
like that.
I'm talking, I would wear butters. And I don't have any. I got to rebuy some because you got to rebuy
every
them
every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
So I.
You have to, right? Because the boots just get messed up so easily in the wintertime. You know, you got to do it every year.
I'm glad that you understand.
Those were my going out shoes back in college.
Yeah, some butters?
Yeah.
Hey,
I like that CB knows about the butter.
Yeah, he do.
Let's talk a little bit about a man that used to get down in Cleveland, and that is LeBron James. Lakers out of the postseason after losing again to the Denver Nuggets, this time in five. You know, gentleman sweep. Gentleman sweep this year. But now here we are, where LeBron has an option to opt out of a contract, to go elsewhere, or he can lock back in with the Lakers. And he was hearing all the noise, and then late last night, LeBron dropped this tweet. I've seen and heard a lot of reports about my future. I said it last night, and I'll say it again. I do not know yet, as I'm only thinking about spending time with my family and friends. When I know, after speaking with the fan, my counsel as well, my representation about it, it then will go to you guys. Until then, he hit us kind of with the emoji. But Brian Windhorst, who we know is very tapped in to the NBA and has good connections with LeBron, he talked a little bit about LeBron's future and what could be in store.
However, I do think that LeBron intends to opt out of his contract and become a free agent for the first time since 2018. And I think that will apply a little bit of pressure to the Lakers. I think he's doing it for three reasons. Number one, because I think he wants to see what the Lakers do around the draft. They have potentially three first-round picks that they can trade, a couple of contracts that they can package with it to upgrade the team. You remember that they did not make any significant upgrades to this team at the trade deadline. LeBron did not forget that, and I do think he likes to have that pressure on them. Number two, as you may have heard, his son Bronny may be, and I expect to be, in this draft. The Lakers, I think, will keep their draft pick. The New Orleans Pelicans have the option to either take this year's pick or defer to next year. I believe the Pelicans will defer to next year, so I think the Lakers will go into the draft with the 17th overall pick and the 55th overall pick. LeBron has expressed an interest in possibly playing with his son. The Lakers will have potentially two chances to draft him. And number three, I think that there's some features that he can put in a new contract. Number one, if he opts in, he only gets 1 year and $50 million. He could potentially get multi-years. And also, he does not have a no-trade clause in his contract. There's only one out there in the NBA. It belongs to Bradley Beal. I wouldn't be surprised if he'd like to lock that in as well. So I do think we're going to be hearing some silence from LeBron between now and the end of June as we watch what the Lakers do as a team.
When you hear all that, T, What do you think?
It's done. The Lakers thing is done.
You think he's leaving?
That is done. Anytime. Really? Because anytime he does that, I'm not going to say anything about what they should do upstairs. I'm going to focus on my, I heard him say that in Miami. I heard him say that in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Now he's saying it again. Every time he said it, pew, he was out of there. So with that being said, I don't blame him. You know, then you got Magic Johnson, the guy who brought him in, got on Twitter. We got to get younger. We don't have the talent anymore. You look at the Nuggets. They're a young team. You look at the Warriors, yeah. Not the Warriors, the Thunder,
Minnesota.
Yeah, you look at all these teams that are young, and we're old. We got to get young. So when I hear stuff like that coming from Magic Johnson, mm-hmm. and he the one that brought LeBron in, like, come on, man.
Johnson was also the guy that bailed on LeBron before it got.
I ain't going to be here.
One of the craziest sports moments I've seen in a long time. But what's going to be crazy, T, is does he say no to $50 million a year from LA at this point in his career? And if he can get it elsewhere, then I think absolutely he'll be open to leaving.
I'm coming home. Tell the world.
I tell you what. When you in the media world, which I don't consider myself a media guy.
I mean,
don't just let me have it. Okay, I'm a former player. I don't look at myself as
slash
whatever
media member.
No, I'm a former athlete. Anyways, when you're around the world, you just hear rumblings, and it's to me, I've heard enough rumblings. And if Bronny James is there, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers will select. But the thing about it is, and this has nothing to do with them selecting him, I just don't. It's not in this world. It's not about what you know. It's who you know. And that applies for the NBA. That's unbelievable to me because Bronny, statistically,
is not.
It's terrible.
Did not look the part last year, to say the least. So, hey,
but
man,
he's still gonna go first round.
When your dad's LeBron James,
that's hey
and,
man.
And owners, know,
I gotta step my game up for my daughters.
Could be a fun off season with LeBron. It really could. If, let me say this: if he does leave LA, I think what would be fun basketball wise, get him to Philly. I don't think he's coming back to Cleveland if Donovan Mitchell isn't there. That's the one thing. Donovan would have to be there for him to come home, in my opinion.
I tell you what, that's a whole nother topic right there. We could spend on that too.
We can talk about that core four thing.
Yeah,
it's probably take it out the oven.
It's done.
Yeah, take
it's
it out
done.
The oven.
After this is done.
Take it out the oven. Coming up, how interested were the Steelers in acquiring Brandon Ayuk during the draft? We'll let you hear from their GM Omar Khan about it next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's ping pong game. The Fan. Fascinating, informative, covered in dog slobber. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Matty Ice, CB, and the national champion, Tyvis Powell, in for AR today. You ever get tired of hearing that?
What?
You're a national champion?
No.
You should, man.
You know, it's just one of those things that as life goes on, the further I get removed from it, the more I don't even...
You're numb to it, man.
Yeah, I don't even.
But guess what? The people of Columbus Buckeye Nation worldwide...
Until they get another one, then I'll be an afterthought.
And some say 2024. It's maybe it.
It's all or nothing. That's the mindset of everybody in that building.
Man, looks good on paper, but as you know, you could tell me, you know, better than anybody, paper doesn't do anything.
Not at all.
Paper doesn't do anything. CB, what do you got for us, man?
Yeah,
some
so
news?
I only bring this up if it's really important, and I did see it has an Ohio State connection, so I want to let you know from Jeff Borzello over at ESPN. He said that, quote, Seth Towns will not be returning to college for his 9th season. He will not be. He did have 1 year of eligibility remaining, but he will not use that.
Crazy.
Like nine years? Let it go. It's over.
I want to say that there's a Florida football player right now that is at that.
Is it
eight,
the tight end?
Yes.
I think it's Miami.
Is it Miami? Okay, there's somebody down in Florida that's within that 7 to 9 year window of a college career.
When you get to that, like, is your goal still pro?
I mean, I would assume so. You tell me. You're the former athlete, like, right? Like, you're always going to chase that.
At some point, you know it's not going to
happen. It's cooked.
Yeah.
Just injury after injury.
You walking in the NFL 30 years old. Like, why would they?
Yeah, his name is Cam McCormick. He's calling 2024 his last ride. It was a makeup for a COVID year.
What year? Yeah, what year? How old is he?
I just know he's going to be a ninth year senior.
I want to know how old this kid. Like, if it's his ninth year, what is he, 26? Like, that's ridiculous. 27? Like, come on now.
Probably around there.
What's the dude that the Browns took? Brandon Whedon?
From Oklahoma State?
Yeah, years ago? Let it go.
I remember that. Brandon Whedon, though, at the time, was, I believe, a similar age to some of the quarterbacks that are coming out now. Like, if I'm remembering correctly, what? Brandon Whedon was 24?
No,
he was like 27, 28.
Okay, so he was way older than that.
Okay, so I was off on that. But I think now what's interesting to you is, like, when you look at these guys coming out now, Bo Nix, Penix.
This is the last year of the COVID stuff, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Brandon Whedon, he was an OG. He was an OG coming out.
But I guess. Like, you know what? Who am I? If you said the dream is still there, all you really need is an opportunity. If somebody wanted to say, you know what, you're 27 years old, come on, we'll give you a camp invite.
Hey, man.
You go in there, you light it up. There it is.
Still a pathway to get to
America. Make sure you save your money because it's not going
to
be long.
That's what I was going to say. The tough part of that is getting to the second contract in the league.
Yeah, you might not. But to say that you even was there is, you know, I got people that never made it out of rookie minicamp, but at least they got that opportunity.
A lot of
people can't even say that.
I'm not mad at anybody that goes overseas, plays in the arena league.
Do it as long as you can.
Absolutely.
Do it as long as you can.
I respect it. Let's talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers and some AFC North football, because I tell you what, T, coming out of the draft, I've seen a lot of these draft grays, these draft analysts on TV and on social media loving what the Pittsburgh Steelers have done.
Yeah.
They really like what they did up front.
I did too.
Getting some more offensive linemen. I'll tell you a sneaky pick that if you're an AFC North fan.
Roman Wilson.
Well, not only Roman Wilson, but the other Wilson. Peyton Wilson, linebacker from NC State.
He would have been the top linebacker in this draft. He just dealt with so many injuries. That's the only thing. If he's healthy, he's instinctual. He's as good as any linebacker in this draft. His concerns was the medical part.
Didn't they say he doesn't have an ACL on like one of his knees?
I'm pretty sure that's right. But CB, he runs really well still.
He good.
You know what he reminds me of when you were talking about the injuries when the Cowboys drafted Leighton Vander Esch a couple years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And he gave him a couple good years, and then now he's dealing with the injury stuff again. But the reason why I think that could be a really good pick is because they stole Patrick Queen from Baltimore, too. So if they hit on Peyton Wilson with those two running around behind T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward and Highsmith and company, the Steelers unit as a whole could really be on to something if they hit on these offensive line picks.
I feel like they haven't really drafted particularly well at linebacker. The past, since like Ryan.
They've been searching.
Yeah.
They went through the Devin Bushes of the world.
Devin Bush was a first round pick. He's with the Browns now. Yeah.
No, you're right.
Maybe it will hit.
Man, that's so unfortunate.
Patrick Queen should be a big pick. But and when you look at their draft, though, they hit every area of concern. You know, you go out there and you get all these guys, everybody wanted to blame the quarterback, but that offensive line wasn't great. Mm-hmm. Like for the past, since Ben's last season, they haven't been great. They was giving up a bunch of sacks then. So it's nice that they finally addressed it. I think they got a left. I want to say they got a tackle last year in the first round.
Did.
They went tackle this
Jones,
year.
Yep.
And then they went center and guard. So now you got roughly one half of a line in this year's draft. If those guys are all hits and they all can be productive, you know, that offensive line could take you a long way, especially in the AFC North. You know, the trenches. Yep. The trenches battle is big. You got to think that Pittsburgh went into this, and actually a lot of teams went into this and thought, like, we got to go against the Cleveland Browns and their D-line. They just picked up another D-lineman in this draft, so we got to counter that. And it's funny to me how the Browns have dictated those terms to where they affect how people draft. Some people would be like, I can go for the good player, but I ain't going to dominate the trenches. So it's nice that Steelers addressed that, not for a Browns fan, but for Pittsburgh. That's what they needed to do.
No question. I mean, you just look around the division right now, you better have good guys up front because, you know, you look up in Baltimore
Justin Madubuike, and
Madubuike was a young guy that was a monster, you know, down in Cincinnati. Trey Hendrickson and Sam Hubbard will get after you.
Did y'all re-sign
Van Noy?
Clowney.
He's in Carolina.
So who is y'all's edge?
it's going to be Madubuike. Remember, they bet on...
I thought he was a D tackle.
What they're betting on is a couple guys from the Big Ten. Remember, Owe from Penn State. They picked up his fifth-year option.
The 4-3 guy.
And then they selected, remember, Ajabo from Michigan a couple years ago. Remember, he tore his Achilles.
He's at the pro day.
At the pro day. Yeah. So they're banking on a couple of those guys popping off, and they did bring back Kyle Vannoy. But your point is really strong, because the Steelers, not only this offseason, but even last year, you mentioned that first-round pick. Remember, they brought in some veteran interior offensive linemen. So they're going to find a way to throw out, I think, a good product along that offensive line. And that obviously is going to help, whether it's Russell Wilson or Justin Fields consuming most of the snaps at the quarterback position. But there were some rumors this weekend, and there's been a lot of rumors over the last couple of weeks about Brandon Ayuk and whether or not he's going to be on the move. Could it be Brandon Ayuk? Could it be Deebo Samuel? I know you and I were talking during the break. We like Ricky Pearsall.
He's good.
The Florida receiver that they drafted.
Did you see CJ Stroud's reaction?
Yeah, he wanted him.
Yeah. Which blows my mind, because where is he going? Like, you got three good receivers. You got Diggs, Tank, and Nico Collins. Where was Ricky going?
Maybe in CJ's mind, he's like,
the more the merrier?
Well, Diggs is on a one-year deal. And so maybe that was in his mind somewhere. But to your point, CJ is...
He's good.
They're in good hands right now. They're in good hands right now. But Omar Khan, the Steelers GM, was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, and he was asked about whether or not the Steelers did show interest in trying to acquire Brandon Ayuk over the weekend.
Yeah, Omar, yesterday the internet was abuzz because the Steelers were going to trade for basically every wide receiver the 49ers had. Did you see any of that? And when you do see it, do you know that you got a leak, or do you know that there's just people cooking up?
You know what? I heard about it. I didn't exactly see it. You know, there's nothing going on right now, so I'm not exactly sure what the verbiage was, what was reported. Nothing to report.
So nothing going on right now, but my question is, T, should they be aggressive in trying to acquire Brandon Ayuk before the season starts, the Steelers?
Most definitely.
I agree.
Yes, 1,000%. Listen, you get George Pickens, Brandon Ayuk, and Roman Wilson all in the receiving core with Pat Freiermuth. Mm-hmm. Like, that's a great... Wow, that's like top of the line receiving core right there. Now, you're banking on Roman Wilson to be a good pick, which I think he will be. I think if they passed the ball more, he would have had a much more statistically better season than what he had. But George Pickett, the good news is all of them are different receivers, if that makes sense. Like, you got a guy at George Pickens, the big play guy. Throw the ball up, he'll make something spectacular happen. Brandon Ayuk runs really good routes. Like, that's what you need, somebody that can separate themselves through routes. And then you got a slot receiver who runs really good routes as well. Got really good possession receiver, catches the ball that you throw to him. So I think that, that should be their main goal. Because George Pickens is good, and I think Roman Wilson is good. But you don't know.
That was going to be my question.
The rookie thing, you don't never know.
It can take time.
Exactly.
It can absolutely take time.
And the AFC North, as competitive as it is,
no question.
As it's, people say it's the best in NFL, like, you can get late, or it can get late early.
Let me ask you this about Pickens. Let's say that they don't get Pickens. I'm sorry, they don't get Ayuk.
Okay.
Do you believe that Pickens is ready to be a true number one with Deontay Johnson out of the equation in Carolina?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think because he has the attitude to forward. He has the big playmaking ability. And when they needed him the most, like when Mason Rudolph came in there, that's when he started to shine. He just needs somebody to put the ball in the area. He makes the plays. Mm-hmm. You know, Deontay Johnson is the guy that for the past couple of years have regressed. Pickens has been the one that's been carrying the load. So, yeah, he's already become the number one there. He truly is a number one wide receiver to me.
They just need consistent quarterback play from somebody, whether it's Russ or whether it's Justin Fields. Between Pickett, Rudolph, and Mitch Trubisky last year, their quarterbacks only threw for 13 touchdown passes.
Which blows my mind.
13 touchdown passes.
The interesting thing about their quarterbacks is you got Russell Wilson, who's a vet that's been in the game, that knows he's a guy that can check you into the right offense to go against whatever defense they're doing. It's like essentially a coach on the field. Mm-hmm. But if you put Justin Fields in there, now you got that extra running ability to where you already got the two-headed monster. Now you add Justin Fields into that mix. Like, that's... I mean, and you got the offensive line on paper. Like, that's
the big one,
crazy.
Man. If they get this offensive line in order... With everything they have, we know TJ Watt's an absolute menace on defense. Highsmith's a good pass rusher. We'll see what Cam Hayward has. He doesn't seem like he's slowing down.
No.
But the way that they're building that defense with Minka on the back end, Porter outside, I think their linebacker play is going to be really good.
They got who's the other? Or they traded for Dante Jackson.
Yes, they got him back in there.
He's a solid corner. He ain't the greatest, but he's a solid corner.
So you start to squint a little bit, and you know how Mike Tomlin gets about, you know, his business.
I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to be over 500.
No question, right?
Going under 500 is not an option in Pittsburgh.
Not with him. And so here's a real quick before we hit a break. If it doesn't work out with either Russ or Justin Fields this year, and things don't work out in Dallas this year, and they let Dak walk, I think this is the team that should be first in line to throw a big bag at Dak next season.
Oh, yeah, because they can't get Shador because Deion ain't on the list that Deion let them go to. So.
We'll get to Deion later because he was doing some chirping on Twitter today about his son. But Pittsburgh, a lot of love right now coming out of the draft around the Steelers and what they've built on paper. When we come back, CB takes over for Ins and Outs. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destiny. Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just literally old In and Out.
All right, CB, it's your segment. Take over, big dog. What do you got today?
All right, number one, we saw that Mike Trout suffered another injury. Sounds like it's going to require surgery, but it doesn't sound like it's season-ending quite yet. My question to you, though, is are you in or out on making the statement we've seen the last of the peak of Mike Trout?
I'm into it. Mike Trout, he was at the peak when he was on, man. Mike Trout was must-see baseball.
No question.
And don't get me wrong, every now and again, he give you that moment, but the consistency is gone. It's not coming back. He's done.
I got to be in on this, CB. And it is really unfortunate.
It is.
When you hear him yesterday, and he talked about T, how he doesn't even remember how it happened. Like, I heard him talk about this. He was very emotional. He said he was just laying in bed, and he got worried about the pain. Then he tried to walk it off for a day, came back, had the same pain, and said, I got to get it looked at. And they told him, you're going to be out for a while, maybe even the entire season. The sad part is, like, you guys are talking about his peak, and it seemed like he was at his peak this year. I mean, he's tied for the lead in home runs with 10 already, like, out of the gate on a bad team. So, yeah, his best days are probably behind him, CB. We're deep into the back nine wow with Mike Trout, unfortunately.
If that contract ages poorly, it could be like a Miguel Cabrera situation up there in Detroit with how much time is left on that thing.
Yep.
Question number two for you. The 76ers, they bring it back to a 3-2 series there with the Knicks. Great shot by Tyrese Maxey late in that fourth quarter. My question to you, though, is can we see this or will we see the 76ers complete the 3-1 comeback?
I don't think so. But, man, they are making me question my decision right now. Because what Embiid and Maxey are doing together, and Embiid is as beat up as you can get, and he's still performing at a high level. The dude had a triple-double last night. He almost had the quadruple-double. He had 9 turnovers, but we won't talk too much about that. I don't think they're going to go back to the Garden in a Game 7 situation and come out of there with a win. But Tyrese Maxey he might be the guy to make me eat my words. But I'm going to be out. I still think the Knicks are coming out of this series as the victors.
I'm with you. I'm out on it. But I can see it going 7 games. I just think that when they get to game, if they do win this next game and it does go back to the Garden, I just think they would have used so much energy to get it to 7 that they just kind of run out of gas. And Embiid's not 100%.
All right, question number three. Bo Nix, we know he's now with the Broncos. Not a very good quarterback room around him with Jarrett Stidham and Zach Wilson, who did not get his fifth-year option picked up by those Broncos. No surprise there. But the question is, are you in or out on Bo Nix starting game one?
I'm in. You took him number one for a reason. He was the guy that y'all said all throughout the draft, oh, that's our guy. And only because you knew that was probably going to be the guy that was left. So I think that's why y'all just fell in love with the guy. But I think with Sean Payton, listen, Bo Nix got some game to him. You know, is he the greatest? I don't think he's the greatest. But under Sean Payton, I think that he can be a really good player there. Plus, they went and got the guy, Troy Franklin, his teammate. So I think that's going to elevate him and help him get to be the number one guy come week one.
He'll be comfortable, right? I think that's a great point. When you go out and get Franklin, an explosive playmaker, up in Eugene last year. I'll be in on this as well. I mean, we've seen the Zach Wilson experience. We saw last year the dude had his chance to really stamp who he could be in the league, and it was just way too inconsistent. And Jarrett Stidham, he might provide a bit of a safe floor, but his ceiling I don't think is as high as Bo Nix. Bo Nix comes in with a whole bunch of game experience, both in the SEC and the Pac-12. In the last 2 years, he's been highly productive. And people say, T, if you squint hard enough, you might see a little Drew Brees in Bo Nix and his stature and maybe his ability to get the ball out quick and pairing that with Sean Payton. Now, you got to squint really, really hard to see it, but that's what some people are seeing. But I think Bo Nix, when they get to week one of the 2024 season, CB, he will be the QB1 for Denver.
All right, question number four. I thought it was pretty funny that the pick that the Patriots got back from trading Mac Jones, it was a late-round pick. They ended up using it on Joe Milton so that they found their next backup quarterback using the Mac Jones pick. But let's talk about Mac himself. He's down there with those Jaguars. He's obviously going to be a backup there. The question is, are you in or out on Mac Jones being a top five backup in the league?
How you feel about that?
Who do you consider great backups now?
That's what I was going to
say. Jameis Winston?
Jameis. Flacco's in Indy, right?
That's a good one.
Flacco's in Indy. Like, let me ask you this about New England. Week one, is it Drake May or Jacoby Brissett? Because
Jacoby Brissett.
He's the starter in week one.
I personally think. Okay. I mean, because their OC is AVP. Mm-hmm. And AVP is like, I know Jacoby Brissett knows my stuff. He was just with me two years ago.
I think I can rock with this. I can go in on Mac Jones. He might be right there at the back end because you guys named a couple guys I would take before him. But, yeah, I'm okay with that, with him, Mac Jones probably being the
– Where is he at? Jacksonville?
Yeah, in Jacksonville.
He might need – well, Trevor Lawrence don't get hurt, though. But I'm not all –
Well, he did last year. He had some ankle sprains and whatnot, and he did miss some time.
But he never really gets hurt.
So he missed some practice time.
So I think that – I don't think he'll miss time, so I don't think we'll ever know. With that being said, I'm not high on Trevor Lawrence anyway, so there we go.
All right, question number five. I saw Ezekiel Elliott talk to some media after signing his contract with the Dallas Cowboys. He says he still feels like he can be a starter in the league at running back. My question to you is, are you in or out on him being the starter for those Cowboys?
Oh, he 100% will be the starter because I don't think they really have anybody else.
I mean, if you
off the top of my head.
Some people like Rico Dowdle and the flashes he showed last year. You got Deuce Vaughn.
Would that certain person not be here right now?
Yeah,
that
AR dislike Rico Dowdle, but there's other people, too, in the fantasy world that like him. But then you got, like, an OG and Royce Freeman, T. So I think Zeke's going to be the guy. Now, obviously, they could add, you know, I asked Shefty about it, and he threw out maybe, you know, Dalvin Cook finds his way down there. But I think with the trust that Zeke provides to them, especially protecting Dak on third downs and his pass-catching ability, and his ability to, you know, fall into the end zone still at a decent clip. I think I'm looking at Zeke as probably taking the first snaps this year, you know, amongst all the running backs in Dallas.
I'll tell you what, a lot of people say that, you know, Zeke fell off a little bit. And he might not have the same burst that he used to have. But when he took over in New England last year, when Ramondre Stevenson went down, he had some really good games, you know, catching the ball out the backfield and running the football. So if he continues to be that guy, that's still the number one in the NFL.
All right, next up, are you in or out on Courtland Sutton being a trade target for a wide receiver needy team?
See, I don't think Denver's going to move him. I think
they better not.
They're going to try to provide as much structure around their young quarterback as possible in year one. You just mentioned Troy Franklin. They've had some other guys over the years that haven't been consistent. Obviously, we know now Judy is up in Cleveland. But I think when you have a rookie quarterback coming in, man, provide him with as many weapons as you possibly can. So taking Courtland Sutton out of the equation, I got to be out on that right now.
I like Courtland was my guy when I played for the Denver Broncos. I beat him all the time at Uno. His locker was right next to mine.
Reverse, bang.
Uno became a very popular game up there. But Courtland is a really good wide receiver. I think teams would be interested in him, but I don't think Denver would offer those. If I'm Courtland, I would probably want to leave, but I don't think that they'll trade him because of, like I said, you got a rookie quarterback and you do want to have some veteran presence there. And he's a guy that you could just throw it up to and he makes a play. I mean, he made a ton of plays for Russell Wilson last year. Expect to see the same thing this year with a rookie.
Those are your ins and outs for this week. Yeah, that division is going to be fun, too.
I mean, Kansas City is still Kansas City.
Just curious, right?
Everybody else is kind of on the rebuild, right. But Kansas City is Kansas City.
Like, what is Antonio Pierce going to be as a head coach, right?
He had them going.
He did. They believe, right? Mm-hmm. I love that they brought in Christian Wilkins, by the way.
Yeah.
They pair him with Max Crosby.
That D-line, I don't know who has a better D-line between them or the Giants.
That's a sneaky good D-line.
Because they got Brian Burns, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau.
Mm-hmm. They just need something at quarterback. Anything.
Yo, Danny Dimes.
Man, well, he's coming off the ACL.
We got Malik Nabers. Maybe he didn't have weapons.
They definitely did it.
I mean, Wandale Robert.
And then now you're, I mean, but you remove Saquon out of the equation.
Yeah.
You know,
you got Devin Singletary, who had a solid year last year.
I did like Malik Nabers, though. I do like Malik Nabers. When we come back, we're going to go to the college football world, talk to Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus about everything happening in the all season around college football. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The only radio station still operating with an active booze cart. I'm drunk right now. No, I'm not. Yes, I am. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Like Yoda, Rothman will limp onto the golf course, talk about how stiff his back is, wonder how he can even make it through a hole, and then proceed to kick your ass. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Welcome back in. Tyvis Powell in for AR today. We're going to use the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now and link up with one of our favorites, Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus. He covers college football with the best of them. Max, happy hump day. How are you, man?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, anytime. I want to start down in the ACC and get your feel on that conference and maybe the team on paper right now that you believe should be the leader in the clubhouse when we talk about ACC football going into the 2024 season.
Oh, good question. Yeah, I think probably the team that I would look at first in terms of the best team in the ACC, and it's wide open conference, like you said already. I think the team I'd probably look at first is probably Clemson. I think they're still going to have the best defense, well, one of the best defenses in the country, probably the best defense in the ACC. You got guys like Peter Woods coming back, an interior defensive lineman who's going to be an absolute superstar. He was great as a true freshman last year. Khalil Barnes as well. You got Barrett Carter at linebacker, Avion Terrell at corner, and TJ Parker at edge defender. So they have a loaded, loaded defense. The question is on offense, obviously, and whether or not Garrett Riley, the offensive coordinator, and Klubnik, the former five-star quarterback, can finally get it going this year. But I still like what Clemson has defensively. So that's probably the school I'd look at first in the ACC. Florida State's probably up there, too, as well. I really like SMU. I think they could be a really sneaky team this year. So, yeah, those are a few of the teams that I think could make some noise in the ACC this year. But I do think it's probably the most wide-open conference out of any of the Power Four right now.
Well, Max, let me take you over to the SEC, and let me ask you about Alabama. You know, obviously they got the new head coach, Kalen DeBoer. Are you up high on them this year, or do you think this will be one of those years that's a down year and they'll have to go through some growing pains?
I'm high on Kalen DeBoer, honestly. I think he was probably my second choice for Alabama after Nick Saban retired, and my first choice was Dan Lanning, who by all accounts seemed to have turned down that job. So I think at Dan Lanning, you got Kalen DeBoer, and you know, Kalen DeBoer beat Dan Lanning twice last year. So DeBoer has won everywhere he's went. I think he has like 104-8 record, something like that, as a head coach, which is absolutely ridiculous. Spending across his time at the D2 level and now here at the FBS. So a brilliant offensive mind. It's going to be a new look Alabama that we're used to. Now more of an offensive-minded focus rather than, you know, the defensive-minded that Nick Saban was. So it's going to be a new, brand-new Alabama, but it's almost impossible to replace the greatest coach in college football history. But I think Alabama pretty much nailed this hire with Kalen DeBoer. So I'm not expecting a huge drop-off with them. I think it'll be probably a top five or a six team in college football. But I don't think they're nearly the national championship favorite like they are pretty much every year with Nick Saban at the helm.
Max Chadwick from Pro Football Focus joining us here on The Fan to talk all things college football. Let's talk about a team coming into the big in USC. Let's talk about the quarterback position. Hit us with your take on Miller Moss. He's got to follow up the number one pick in the draft and Caleb Williams, who was an absolute star the last few years in college. What do you know about Miller Moss? What type of ceiling do you think he's going to provide for Lincoln Riley, and company?
Yeah, listen, I think he had his tryout in that Holiday Bowl against Louisville, and he aced that tryout. And I think if he didn't look good in that Holiday Bowl, there's a pretty good chance that USC would go in the transfer portal and take one of these quarterbacks. There's a lot of reports that Will Howard was looking at USC before he ultimately decided on Ohio State. So Miller Moss aced that trial, like I said, against Louisville. He had an 89.3 passing grade in that victory. I believe he had like 6 touchdown passes as well in that game. So he aced it. I think he's the guy for them next year. Obviously, Malachi Nelson, the former 5-star recruit, going to be battling Miller Moss, but I think he kind of saw the writing on the wall after that Holiday Bowl, and he transferred to Boise State. So this really is Miller Moss's job now at USC, and obviously you got one of the best play callers in the sport, and Lincoln Riley, who's groomed many, many NFL quarterbacks between Mayfield, Kyler Murray, now Caleb Williams, and all three of those guys were number one overall picks. Jalen Hurts was a second-round pick and played in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. So Lincoln Riley's done an amazing job with quarterbacks, and I think Miller Moss is should be pretty excited to work with Lincoln Riley as his starting quarterback next year.
Where are you at on Carson Beck for Georgia? Do you think he is as good as advertised, or you think he's got some work to do?
I think he's the number one quarterback in the country right now. Now, I don't think he's an absolute, you know, superstar, megastar like Caleb Williams or even Drake May were going into last year. But I think right now he's the best quarterback in the country. I think he's got the best timing, really good accuracy as well. I mean, he was top 5 in adjusted completion rate and average time to throw. He's not a mobile quarterback, really. But in the pocket, man, it's hard to find too many better than Carson Beck. And I thought after the Heisman finalists last year of Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, after those guys, he was probably the next best quarterback in college football last year. He had the 4th best grade in the country behind those three guys. So, I don't think Carson Beck is a number one overall pick like Caleb Williams or even Drake May were last summer, like we thought about them. But I do think right now he's the best quarterback in college football, and I think he's probably the favorite to be the first quarterback taken in the 2025 NFL draft, too.
Let's bring you into the Big Ten, and I want to go over to Penn State. Drew Aller's one of these quarterbacks that, like, you look at him, he's got the look. You look at last year, and it just seemed like they really didn't allow him to do too much. Like, they were trying to play it safe to my eye. Like, Drew Aller, what do you think about him and what he could provide this season?
Well, as a Penn State fan, I'm glad you put it that way, because I have been trying to preach to everyone that it is not Drew Aller's fault. It was entirely on the supporting cast last year. I thought the receiving core was abysmal. I thought the play was bad, and obviously they fired offensive coordinator Mike Yurcich last November during the season. So clearly they thought the same. I'm still a little skeptical, because I think Drew Aller is all the talent in the world, but I still don't love that receiving core right now. I mean, they lost Andre Lambert-Smith to the transfer portal, and he ultimately selected Auburn. He was their top receiver last year. Even with Keandre Lambert-Smith, I was still worried about the receiving core. So now you lose your number one receiver from last year. Yeah, you bring in Julian Fleming from Ohio State that you guys know well, but, I mean, you guys know, in 4 years, he never really did much at Ohio State, even though he's a former top 3 recruit in the country. So I like Drew Aller a lot, but I am still, and now the offensive line loses 3 starters as well. I love the new offensive coordinator and Andy Koldenicki, who comes over from Kansas. I loved when he did it with the Jayhawks, but man, the thing that keeps me from really selling Drew Aller and Penn State's offense this year is the arrival of Andy Koldenicki, because I really think the receiving core is still a big problem right now, and the offensive line has got a lot worse as well. I'm a little worried for Drew Aller. I think Drew 10 best quarterbacks in the country, but like you said, I think he's really hamstrung by the supporting cast at Penn State. So we'll see if the new OC can unlock more of his potential. But I'm a little skeptical just because of how dire the receiving core seems right now, and the offensive line, like I said, got a lot worse too.
Do you think Colorado did enough this year to be better than what they were last year, and how do you think they hold up in the Big 12?
Yeah, I think they did. Obviously, they're 4-8 last year. I think they can hopefully get to a bowl game this year. At least they're hoping that. I still think Shador Sanders is one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Probably has to get off Twitter a little more if he wants to convince the team to take him number one overall in the NFL draft. But on the field, he's fantastic, and he's a great processor. The big thing with them is he's got to protect him. I think from a clean In fact, his clean pocket passing grade last year was 3rd in the country, and the only 2 above him were the first 2 picks of the draft, and Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. So I like Shador Sanders a lot. They have some really talented weapons on offense and a good secondary as well. It's just about the trenches. Can they improve on offensive line? Can they improve on defensive line? They got the number one offensive tackle recruit in the country coming in this year, but you know it's kind of a tall task for a true freshman to be an impact player on the offensive line. So we'll see what Jordan Seaton can do for them, but yeah, I think they can be better. It's year 2 for them now there, and I'm excited to see what they can do, but I'm not ready to call them, you know, a playoff contender just yet, because I want to see how those the trench play continues to develop for them.
Max, we'll get you out of here on this one. One of the big games on paper right now for Ohio State is the game out in Eugene, Oregon. Dan Lanning goes from Bo Nix to now Dylan Gabriel. Do you think there's going to be a massive shift in offense, or do you think we're going to see, you know, maybe some similar things from Bo Nix going over to Dylan Gabriel now?
I think it'll still be a high-flying offense with Oregon. And I think you mentioned it's not only a massive game for Ohio State, it's the biggest game of the year in college football, in my opinion. I think you got my way too early rankings. I put Ohio State as the second-best team in the country. You can even argue them up to number one, and I wouldn't argue it. In Oregon, I had it number three, right behind Ohio State and Georgia. So, yeah, two top three teams in the country playing. So that is the biggest game of the year. I think Dylan Gabriel might be my Heisman pick right now. I think they're going to still air it out a lot. I think they have a great receiving core as well between Tez Johnson, Evan Stewart coming in from Texas A&M. Yeah, that is the game of the year. So it's going to be Oregon offense is going to hit a lot, and Ohio State offense is going to be really balanced with not only the best backfield in the country in Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. It's going to be that's the game of the year in college football, and I absolutely cannot wait for that one.
Yeah, it should be a banger. I'm with you. He's Max Chadwick, the college football analyst over at PFF. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Max Chadwick CFB. Max, we always appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for your time.
No, thank you, guys. It's the first interview I've done that's not been NFL draft questions, so it's nice to get back into the swing of college football, guys. I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, man, anytime. You know, we'll be hitting you up throughout the summer. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. He was on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. When we come back, we will hit you with the Buckeye Bulletin. Lathan Ransom joined the boys this morning on Morning Juice. You'll hear from him after this. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Rothman and Ice, Tyvis Powell in for AR today, having a little bit of some technical stuff going on in-house, but we'll roll through this. T, you know, I know the guys had Lathan Ransom on this morning. I don't know if we have the ability to...
This is now for a free estimate and next-day air installation.
All right, welcome back in to a Buckeye Bulletin. Matty Ice and Tyvis Powell. We were talking during the break about the run game.
Yeah.
The run game for Ohio State this year. That could be paired with an elite defense, man. With an elite defense. Coach Lachlan comes in from Oregon. Did some good things last year, T, with, you know, Bucky Irving and some other talented running backs. And even Chip Kelly, right? UCLA, they finished first in the conference in rushing yards per game. Oregon was right behind them in the Pac-12. So two guys coming from UCLA and Oregon that now have a lot of talent to coach up.
Well,
for Ohio State.
You think about the fact that they both came from the same conference. Wherever Chip Kelly has gone, he's always made the run game better. Everybody looks at Chip Kelly and thinks about all the tempo, the funky formations, the wild plays and stuff like that. But they forget that he actually runs the ball at a nice clip. And you think about when we were successful here back when Urban was here, he ran the ball at a nice clip. So it's nice to have that two-headed monster, having Coach Locke and having him and having Chip compare back up with Justin Fry, who was with him at UCLA. I think that's going to help increase this whole run game. Because I think, to be honest with you, that's the one thing that's missing to me, is that we don't have a dominant run game. Every season we start off with, we want to be able to run the ball. And it's like, we get to about the fourth, fifth game, and it's like, we're a passing team. Yeah. Let's just get the ball to these playmakers.
Right, no question. And it's going to be exciting. A few questions, right, just about the offensive line.
Yeah.
This is...
I wouldn't necessarily. I mean, you kind of know you got two good centers. You just got to figure out which one you want to play center.
Right.
And then I would think you would put the other one at guard, because the left guard and the both tackle positions is pretty solidified. Mm-hmm. I think both tackles, now that they've had a year under their belt as starters, I thought they had got better towards the end of the year. A lot of ups and downs, but that's what happens when you become a starter for the first time. Now that there's their second time around, I think they'll be much better. And like I say, with Chip Kelly, with the schemes that he's going to run, I think they'll be much better.
That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. All right, we'll reset at the top. I know we had a lot going on in-house over the last couple minutes, so thanks to, you know, CB and Greg, our engineer, for getting us back on the air. We will play a few of the Lathan Ransom cuts in the deep dive. He was on the Morning Juice this morning. You'll hear from him. And also, one of the top draft analysts in the game, Dane Brugler, dropped his way too early 2025 NFL mock draft. How many Buckeyes does he have in the first round? Find out next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio. Uncomfortably girthy. This promo is uncomfortable. The Fan, Ohio's girth destined. Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, welcome back in. Matty Ice, CB, Tyvis Powell in the house today for AR. You had to work through some technical difficulties in our last segment, T. We were having a segment. We promised we were. We don't know if anybody heard it.
But it was good conversation.
We were talking
about how great this secondary was, and I was really hitting on key points and really breaking down position by position and what I was thinking was going to improve this year.
Oh,
hope
man.
You made it to the air. Yeah. If you caught that, you're a much smarter person.
You got some gems.
See it?
You got some gems from the People's Champ. You mentioned we were talking about the secondary, because the potential is absolutely there. One of those guys that could be, you know, integral part of that secondary and really help this team and this defense get to where they want to get to is Lathan Ransom. And he was on Morning Juice this morning with our guy Bobby Beamer and Shark doing their thing bright and early. And Lathan Ransom, one of the hot topics when it came to this all season for Ohio State was, you know, all the guys that were running it back that are still hungry to accomplish whatever goal it is in their mind that they want to accomplish. And here's Lathan, his take on everybody coming back.
We had a meeting with all the players that could possibly leave and players that can come back. And Coach Day was also in that meeting. And we kind of talked about, like, we can all leave and achieve our dreams and achieve our goals, but we can all come back and do something that hasn't been done before. And as I say, obviously we've won gold pants, but this is the first time that you've seen, like, with the whole team come back as a collective to do something bigger than us. And I think, like I told you, it's the biggest example of the brotherhood that I've seen since I've been here, of just putting our personal goals aside, coming together as a team, coming together as a brotherhood to come back and do something special, man. And I'm just going to speak from the defensive side. our goal is to be the best defense that's been here at Ohio State. And I know that might hurt, but that's our goal. And it's easy to say that, but I'm honestly so tired of the goals in the preseason. Oh, wow, look how good Ohio State looks. I'm excited to go out there and do it because we've had high expectations before, but we haven't achieved that. So I'm just excited to go out there, man, and put it all in front of everyone to see in the world.
As a former player that played at this program and won it all here at Ohio State, what was your mind? Where was your mind when you saw the amount of guys coming back and their dedication to the 2024 season?
I said that these guys are committed to doing something special, you know, and I always say when you come to Ohio State, the way I looked at it, and I think a way a lot of people look at it as players or coaches, is your job is to make the program better. But if you can't make it better, the worst you can do is at least leave it where it was. And I always say that when these guys came in, they were coming off of a loss in the national championship. They had just lost to Alabama. I think the year after that is when we started getting the guys that are seniors now, because that would be 4 years ago. So, yeah. And when you look at from that loss to that championship to where we are today, like, it went backwards. The program took a deep dive down, you know, maybe not a deep dive because they were literally one field goal away from being in it again. So I won't say a deep dive, but it hasn't been where it's supposed to be. And I think these guys look at that like, that's on us. Like, when people think about our career at Ohio State, they're going to look at it like, you guys never beat the team up north. You guys didn't achieve anything. You guys, the only thing you guys did was win a Rose Bowl. Like, that'll be the only thing they'll say.
Yeah, that's tough.
And right? It would come off as very, like, disrespectful. Like, so I think they looked at that and they said, we can't leave the program in that state. Like, I can't come back here and bring my kids back here. And people say that. Like, think about, like, a guy like CJ. CJ, as good as he was, mm-hmm. They'll be like, but you didn't beat the team up north. You didn't achieve anything. But he's tearing it up in the NFL. But, like, collegiately, like, he didn't really achieve the goals. So I think these guys didn't want to live that. I think they understand, listen, we're at Ohio State. We're probably going to go to the next level. We're going to do well. We're going to succeed because you watch all the people before us. They always do well in the NFL. So when he said that, he's right. But I think they don't want to leave this chapter undone.
No question about it. I think that's very well said. We've got some new faces in the mix. Will Howard, Quinshon Junkett, CB. Let's go ahead and spin that fourth one from Lathan and his thoughts on some of the new guys coming in through the portal.
You can ask anyone in the Woody, especially Coach Mick. I think IGB came in and changed our culture. The impact he had is unlike any player that I've seen come in and transfer. And he comes in, he is a trash talker. Like, me and IGB will go at it for a whole hour, but the way that he talks trash to other teammates, and it's not even like some people look at it, oh, he's bashed on. No, it's making everyone better.
Yeah.
The competitiveness, one of the most competitive people I've ever met. So I love the impact IGB's had on our room, what he's had on the team. He's been a perfect fit. And then Caleb coming in the spring, he's had such a great impact just because he came in not expecting anything, just came in and came in to outwork everyone. That's something I love it because I'm a competitor as well. So seeing him work hard makes me want to work even harder. So I think him coming in was one of the best things for the team and also one of the best things for me, just someone to come in and continue to push me. I see his hunger makes me hungrier. And I think, yeah, both Coach Day and the recruiting staff did a great job of bringing in two great chancellors, not only on the field, but great people off the field.
Going to assume he's talking about Davis and Igbinosin,
yeah,
but he's IGB. Referencing IGB. And as a former trash talker yourself, I'm sure that has to warm that's your heart here.
I'll be trying to tell people, listen, you don't understand what trash talking does not just you, but the team on the field. Like when I seen my first time experiencing it, we were playing, what's the team? Oh my goodness. I can't think. Got the really good band. We beat them 75-0.
FAMU?
FAMU.
Yes.
We played FAMU. And CJ Barnett was talking crazy to their quarterback. And he was like scared. And I couldn't believe it. This is the first time that I was on the field. I actually laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I laughed at how scared this guy was. But it turned me up, though. Like, right. I was ready to go. So when I hear that IGB, as they like to say, Davidson Igbinosin, do that. Like, the people that's around it, like, that's my brother. So if he's saying that, I got to back him up. I got to have his back. I got to be turned up with him. So it's good for that defense. It lets me know that they have energy. They have passion on that defense. And that's what you need to be successful, especially on defense. It's always a confidence thing, especially in the secondary. Because in the secondary, if you lose that confidence, you're done.
Like, if an offensive coordinator figure that they got you, they're going to go after you over and over and over and over and demoralize you until you just get pulled out the game.
Yeah.
You got to be so confident at corner that you got to believe in your heart that nobody can catch a pass on you. Not even Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice in his prime can't catch a ball on me. Yeah. And if he does, you got to be crazy enough to think, that was just luck. It won't happen again.
He not get another one.
Yeah, he won't get another one. Like, that was luck. So, if you don't have that type of confidence, you will not succeed in the secondary. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, because I don't know how you guys do it, man. Like, that's so tough. Especially now in this era of football where it seems like, you know, everything's kind of catered to a certain degree to offense and what you guys can and can't do on defense. It's really impressive when you see the good ones getting after, you know, not only the wide receivers, but playing the ball, right? Like, you always take the ball away.
That's the best thing, right?
All of that type of stuff. You heard Lathan in that clip reference Caleb Downs. You're a former safety yourself. You played in the league. You played at a very high level. You've seen this guy. You've read about him. What are Buckeye fans in store for when it comes to Caleb Downs and what he could be cooking up this year?
That guy's a pro. That guy's a pro, and he's going to make everybody better. And you heard Lathan talk about his work ethic. You know, if you want to be – that's the thing. If you want to be good at this game, naturally God-given ability, you'll probably be good at this game. You come to Ohio State, the thing about playing at Ohio State is that we recruit very well around here. So if you're just – if you just come in here and just be naturally gifted, you'll do well. But if you want to be great – and you want to be the best safety to ever do it, you got to have some type of work ethic to you. And that right there is what Caleb Downs has to why he's being spoken so highly of, because the work ethic is the extra stuff that you do when nobody's looking, doing the extra film sessions, doing the extra drills after practice, doing all these things so you could be perfect. You got to want to be perfect at that safety position, because you have to be. Like, you got to think you're the last line of defense. If they get past you, it's a touchdown every single time. It doesn't matter if the D lineman misses his gap. It doesn't matter if the linebacker misses the tackle. If you miss it, everybody knows about it. So you got to be perfect. Trust me. If you ain't perfect, you'll know all about it. I can tell you a lot of stories about that. So it's nice to hear Caleb Downs is taking this very seriously. Yeah. And I hope when he ends his career as a Buckeye, we mention him up there with the Malik Hookers, the Von Bells, the Mike Dawsons, because I think he's that good of a player.
You mentioned Malik Hooker. That
Malik the Freak.
That one year, man.
Oh yeah.
It felt like there was five Malik Hookers back there every game.
Malik,
seriously.
Malik was like a ticking time bomb. He just waited for his moment, and when he got his opportunity to be on the field, he just blew up.
It was wild. It was wild. So would not be surprised if Caleb Downs could have that same type of impact this year. You've heard Nick Saban talking about him and how highly he thought of him as a player, as a freshman, and now here he is in Columbus, suiting up for the Scarlet and Gray. We teased there's a way too early mock draft out there, and it's coming from Dame Brugler from The Athletic. And there are a couple Buckeyes that pop up in the first round. He's got JT and Denzel Burke in the first round of next year's draft. Look, the order, that's a crapshoot right now, trying to predict what the NFL draft order is going to be like a year from now. But Denzel and JT, obviously been around for a while. Denzel, we saw him as a young guy come into this thing and show some flashes right away, especially in that first game against Minnesota. JT, when you hear his name, at least for me, I think about that historic performance against Penn State, you know, a couple years ago where he was just...
Best defensive performance I've ever seen in my life.
It was unbelievable, man, that day what he was on out there against the Nittany Lions. But those two guys, I could absolutely see it. Anybody else in your mind?
Jack Sawyer could absolutely creep up in there if he has one of those productive seasons where he's getting a lot of sacks. I mean, he had 3-1 game. You know, if he can do that or be a piece of that for the whole season, obviously it's 12. Well, it's up to like 17 games now. Somebody need to come double digits in sacks. This is getting ridiculous.
It's been a minute.
It's ridiculous.
It's been a minute.
And the pick size, I need 4, 5, 6, 7 in the secondary. 4 picks, 5 picks, 6 picks, 7 picks. That's what we did when we won it all. We had 4, 5, 6, 7.
Okay, that's really impressive.
We was ball hawking.
So that's you,
me, Vaughn, Durant, and Eli.
Yeah, you guys were. You guys had
what you
got to
do. What you got to do?
Take the ball away. How much time did you guys spend on like the jugs machine and all that after practice throughout the year as DBs?
Me and Vaughn did it our last year. The year before that, we didn't.
Okay,
it was all natural. God, it's God given.
Got that Spider-Man touch, huh?
Yeah. You know,
look, I want to let's take a break, though, because I want to get pick your brain on some of the stuff that Dan Brugler's throwing out. There's some few Big Ten guys pop up. We'll talk about some of the quarterbacks in here as well. And also, Amon-Ra St. Brown just got a very big bag from the Detroit Lions. But was he always on board with being a Detroit Lion? You'll hear from him in pre-snap reads. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center. Reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, welcome back in. Matty Ice Tyvus Powell with you on Hump Day. Thanks for your time as always. You know, you got your Guardians right now out in H-Town. Crazy game last night. They tried to come back, man. They did everything they could.
The fight is there.
It really is.
That's half the battle right there. You, at least you know they got the fight in them.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's cook up a little Bet365 action for tonight, because at Bet365, we don't do ordinary. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Tristan McKenzie, a.k.a. T-Mat, he's on the bump tonight, Tyvus, looking at his strikeout total. Over at Bet365, they've got it at 4.5. The juice for the over is +135. For the under, it's -165. Would you like to play either one of those?
I would take the over on that one. You know, he started off slow where he wasn't getting a bunch of Ks, but I think his last couple of performances have been more upwards. The velocity's still not there. You know, I don't think he's going to be throwing 95, 96. I don't think that's the case. But I think he's got better placement with his ball now, because I think he's finally getting comfortable with the injury. Yeah. So I think that he'll get 5 to 6, maybe 7 strikeouts today. I'm going to go 7.
So I was looking at stuff this morning, and one Houston Astros had a lot of success in his career versus Tristan McKenzie.
Who?
And it's Jose Altuve.
That's the worst person that you could have.
All that stuff was just crazy. Bro, he's running the home plate. Don't rip my jersey. It was absolutely insane. But I'm going to go with a dinger tonight. A dinger for Jose Altuve. It'll be a solo shot, so it won't hurt you too much. But give me.
I hope that's not the case.
the juice is +400, so I'm going to go with a guy that got a decent track record against Tristan McKenzie. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365, the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
So let's talk a little wide receiver news in the NFL, because just last week we found out that up in Detroit, I think this was the morning of the draft, that they locked in Amon-Ra St. Brown to a 4-year, $120 million contract. T, how does $77 million guaranteed sound?
Man, it sounds like he don't need to do nothing for the rest of his life once he's done playing. That's what that tells me. Can I borrow $20?
That's it, man. You could ask him for 20 G's, and I think he'd be like, you can have that right now after this contract.
You think if I told him, you know what, I need to borrow some money. What do you think would be the limit to where he'd be like, you know what, you don't even need to pay that back. He got $77 million.
I think probably 50 G's.
You think...
Which is crazy to say out loud, but when you know that I got Sarah 77 coming no matter what I do, 50 G's is like, oh, okay.
Don't worry about it. Keep that. That's crazy.
What do you think the number would be? I don't know.
Even if I had 77 million.
You can't even wrap your mind. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to wrap your mind around.
Because you don't have it.
Right.
10. Okay. 10, I would look at you with the eye like, come on now. Like, come on. 10? Like, you trying to take advantage of me. I give you 5.
Always think, man, like, a couple of the best things going in sports. When you sign that name on a dotted line and that guaranteed money it's on its way.
Oh, my goodness.
Or when somebody sits you down, you know, as a coach and says, we're firing you. However, you got 10 plus, 20 plus million dollars coming in a buyout.
It still feels bad.
Does it?
When you get fired?
Does it?
It does.
When you got that type of buyout?
It does.
Okay. Because you got some pride and you care.
You firing me, but, you know, at least it's not something I'm going to dwell on. I'm going to be fine, but, you know.
Fair enough. But I'm on Ross St. Brown. CB, who did he sit down and talk with? Remind me of where this is coming from again.
It was like a media scrum outside of the, I think he was giving away like free pizzas at the Little Caesars, ooh, like little truck outside of the draft area.
Yeah, let me get some of that crazy bread while you're at it, Amon Ra. But here he is talking about, you know, coming into the league, maybe what he thought of Detroit.
Like you said, I feel like 3 years ago when I got that call, this around exactly this time, I was like, I even told my brother, I said, I went to that day three, I was already mad. I was like, there's one team I don't want to go to, and that's the Lions. Just please, I don't want to go to the Lions. Because he was on the Packers at the time. I was like, I want to play with him. And then sure enough, I check my phone, and it's 313 Detroit. I'm like, no way. So I pick it up, you know, it's Brad, whoever it is, talk to them, they draft me. And I was happy, but I was unhappy at the same time because I didn't want to come here. But looking back on it, it's probably the best. I don't think there's another team that where I could have done what I've done here with the people that are around me, the coaches, my teammates, the fans, the city, just the whole story of how everything has been going, playing so far. I mean, I'll pay for this if I could, to have this whole thing happen again, because it's a perfect story, I feel like. I mean, we're winning games now. The draft is in Detroit. We got black uniforms. I mean, everything is going right. So we got to keep up this momentum that we have now. I feel like, you know, other people are starting to realize it too, not just Detroit, but other fan bases, other people around the country. And we got to keep this momentum going.
You know, it's crazy. At the beginning, you forget where they got him. You know, he mentioned he was waiting around on day three. This dude is a fourth round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, he and Puka Nacua over the last few years, just these teams finding not just good wide receivers, but elite wide receivers deep into the draft. That's amazing work by, you know, Brad Holmes, their GM, who he mentioned there as well. But I think he's absolutely deserving of that deal after what he's cooked up over the last couple of years. The dude can go.
He was literally like the shining light of that team. I mean, just 2 years ago when he really jumped on the scene, like 2 years ago, I was like, all right, this guy's going to be special. Then last year, he took off and had another incredible season. So, yeah, he's definitely earned his money there. And, you know, it's funny because he talks about how he didn't want to go to Detroit to begin. But what people got to realize is it's actually going to places like Detroit or maybe Cleveland back in the day was perfect, because it's a franchise that is not doing well. They're dependent on you, so now you have to work harder. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes you grind, and the fans connect with you because you're a low draft pick, but you worked your way up. And you think about people that live in Detroit or people that live in Cleveland, like, that's all they know is hard work. You got to work hard to get success. So they gravitate to you more, and Amon Ra St. Brown is the perfect example of that. He got there. He was a fourth round pick. Wasn't expected a lot out of him, but he worked, and now he's one of the best receivers in the league.
Their young core is special, man, especially on offense. When you look at, you know, that offensive line and Penei Sewell, who they hit with the big bag.
The same day.
So you got
got money to give,
man,
out there.
They're just throwing it around. They're throwing it around, and rightfully so, because Penei Sewell, remember a lot of the debate a couple years ago, should the Bengals go with Sewell or Chase?
Both teams won.
That's all I'm saying. They couldn't have gone wrong either way, but you got the former Buckeye and Taylor Decker who, I mean, he's been around for a while and still playing at a high level. He was drafted back in 2016, and he's still doing his thing, and they're still waiting to see for Jameson Williams to really, I think, take off the way they thought he would.
Yeah, to stretch the field.
Coming out of college, but regardless, there's good structure around him, and Jahmyr Gibbs is just...
He's a cheat code.
Can we give him the ball more?
David Montgomery is still there. Yeah, I mean, they had a nice 1-2 punch because David Montgomery is more of a physical back.
I just, man, when I see Jahmyr Gibbs, I see like a hybrid of Jamal Charles and Kamara. Like, I just think he's special.
Is he a first round fantasy pick?
Yeah, you could talk me into that.
Really? Even though he's splitting carries?
Well, the pass catches too, right? Like in PPR league, you get those catches too with him and his
But he's splitting carries.
I know. It's tough.
If he was the number one and that was it.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, yeah, you could talk me top 10.
Yeah, so I listen, that division is going to be a lot of fun this year. The NFC North. Real quick, where are you at with Caleb and his year one ability with those weapons in Chi-Town?
I mean, I think he'll make some noise there. The only question I have is the offensive line. That's literally the, and that's even when Justin was there, they never had an offensive line. Now, the difference between Justin and Caleb is coming in with way more weapons than Justin did. You got Justin a weapon and DJ Moore, and they ended up having a better season.
Mm-hmm.
You get Caleb, he got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, and Rome Odunze, and Cole Kmet.
Swift.
Yeah. I mean, as long if they can just block for 4 to 5 seconds, mm-hmm. they can make a lot of noise.
Yeah, that offense should be fun. No doubt about it. Those are your pre-snap reads for today. When we come back, I'm going to hop on the radio plane and take a trip over to Foxborough and get reaction from Mike DeBate, Locked On Patriots, Drake May, Joe Milton, what's going on with their roster, new head coach, new GM, a lot of new things happening with the New England Patriots. We'll pick his brain on all of that next. It's Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
Listen, learn, lay the points. This is Rothman and Ice.
That it is. Welcome back in. Matty Ice, the former Buckeye National Champion. Ty of his pals been hanging out with us today. Gonna light up the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline right now. Go out to Foxborough and talk to Mike DeBate, who covers the Patriots, Locked On Pats. What's up, Mike? How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me on today.
So much debate around pick number 3 going into Thursday night, and now here we are with Drake May in the mix. Do you believe that the Pats have found their new franchise quarterback?
I do, for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons being, obviously, his high ceiling. The talent level is truly something that I think sets him apart from his peers. Caleb Williams definitely up there as well, Jaden Daniels, but Drake May deserves to be in that conversation with those guys, and I think he will be as effective of a quarterback at the pro level as his peers. Listen, there's no question about it. The arm talent is there. His athleticism, his ability to create plays both in and out of the pocket are things that the New England Patriots are going to love, and the fan base is definitely going to love as well. But he's also showing a maturity just in the time that since he's been drafted in the last week or so, coming in saying that he is willing to learn from the guys on this roster, not just the elder statesmen at different positions, but Jacoby Brissett, who was essentially brought in to be a mentor-type quarterback to the Patriots pick at number 3. I think the Pats definitely have the guy they need in both facets. He's going to need some coaching. He's going to need some work. But at the same time, for the future, their future is bright here with Drake May.
Mike, you know, you brought up Jacoby Brissett, and I want to ask you, do you think Drake May is the week one starter, or do you think he's one of those guys that he comes in mid-season and they start the year off with Jacoby Brissett?
That's a great question. I know Jerod Mayo has said several times that the best players will play, so it would not shock me to see Drake May come in, have a very good training camp, prove that he's capable of leading this team, and get the start right out of the gate. That being said, I think, at least my own opinion, I believe Jacoby is going to start this season. I think it's probably the best fit for Drake right now. There are still some question marks about, you know, his ability to navigate in the pocket. There's a lot of concern regarding his pressure to sack rate, which did come under fire last year. 19.6 is what Pro Football Focus graded him, a 19.6%, whereas effective NFL quarterbacks are known to hover anywhere between 10 and 15. So that's going to take some coaching from Alex Van Pelt, from T.C. McCartney, the Patriots quarterbacks coach, and obviously from Jerod Mayo in the head coaching seat as well. So if they can help to hone in some of his pretenses to kind of always go for the big play and not necessarily take the check down, along with being able to navigate his ability to handle pressure, that's why I think it's going to take a little bit longer for him to assimilate into that starting role. And it wouldn't surprise me to see Jacoby Brissett get the start right out of the gate. But again, it's going to depend on how these guys perform during training camp.
Mike DeBate from Locked On Patriots joining us here on The Fan. Mike, you've referenced their new head coach in Jerod Mayo a couple times. I remember when, you know, that seat was open for a little bit of time and there was conversation about do they go back to Mike Vrabel, a guy around these parts that we know very, very well. For the folks that don't know much about Jerod Mayo, what do they have in this guy? What type of head coach do you believe he's going to be?
I believe Gerard is going to be a head coach that is hands-on, and I believe that he's going to be someone that's not only going to earn the respect but also the trust of his team in very short amount of time. Gerard had a nickname when he played linebacker up here for New England for a number of years, and they called him Young Belichick. And I think in a lot of ways, he's going to add a lot of that type of Belichickian wisdom and counsel on the field that he learned directly from Bill. And say what you will about the ending of Bill's tenure up here in New England. Yeah, there might have been some questions surrounding how that was handled and what his relationship was like with the front office, but I don't think anybody can take away from Bill his knowledge on the field, and that's something that Gerard will take. But he has a way of being able to reach his players. He has a way of being able to adapt to the mentality of a younger NFL, and I think that's going to serve him extremely well. So he'll be a popular head coach. He's a player's head coach, but when it comes down to the action on the field, Gerard Mayo is all business, and I think he's going to prove that in a short amount of time.
Mike, last year, one of the things that the Patriots struggled with was playmakers, you know, outside of the quarterback position. They didn't really have a big name guy. You know, Ramondre Stevenson kind of went down, and that was kind of the household name there. How do you, when you look at this roster as it is constructed now, did they do enough to be successful as far as playmakers?
Yeah, I think they have in the future. Right out of the gate, Patriots fans are going to see players that do require a little bit more development before they come into their own. And I'm talking about the draft picks here. Obviously, we talked about Drake May, my concerns with his ability to handle pressure and maybe a little bit to temper his net penchant to always go for the big play is going to be something he'll struggle with right off the bat. Jalen Polk is someone that I think can be an adequate wide receiver right off the bat. I think he can be a very good one with a little bit of seasoning. His ability to make contested catches is something that right now I think he can be a factor in this offense with right out of the gate. But at the same time, he needs a little work at nuance in his route running. That's going to be something he'll need to be coached on. Javon Baker, I think, is someone that can be a deep threat for this team right away. He's got the swagger and he's got the athleticism to be able to do it. But once again, you need to learn a little bit more of the pro game, maybe a little bit more pro-ready temperance to be an effective receiver at this level. That's something he'll struggle with. So there are a lot of elements of the New England Patriots draft class and in some of the younger players that they already have on this roster, like a DeMario Douglas, who had a very good season last year. You mentioned Ramondre Stevenson. He'll be their biggest pro-level ready talent right out of the gate. He'll be the focal point of this offense. Alex Van Pelt loves to use the run to facilitate play action. Ramondre is going to be a huge part in that. And if they incorporate more outside zone run concepts, that's going to play into his strengths right off the bat. So, yeah, I think they do have the buddings of some very good offensive players that can be a very good, maybe a very good offensive staff for the New England Patriots and an output. But it's going to take a couple of years to get there. Pats fans are going to have to be a little patient at first while some of the young guys get assimilated into the pro game.
Mike DeBate joining us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He covers the Pats. Check out his podcast, Locked On Patriots. Mike, you are obviously well aware of that big ESPN report that came out, I think, a week or two ago now. When it came to Robert Kraft maybe having some type of, you know, hand, I guess, in the decision when it came to the Atlanta Falcons and Bill Belichick and whether or not he could trust or they could trust Bill Belichick, what's your understanding of their relationship at this point in time?
You know, the report did surprise me a little bit because everything that I've heard from Foxborough, not only overt and what you get on the face of it when you hear Robert Kraft or Bill Belichick speak to the media regarding each other, behind the scenes was always that there was a level of respect between those two that didn't necessarily always get seen in front of the camera, but it was there. And that report kind of made it seem like maybe that respect didn't translate over to the end of Bill's tenure here in New England. Look, I always say virtue lies somewhere in the middle. Was there a little bit of acrimony for the both sides kind of dissolving their relationship? I'm sure there was. But at the same time, I have a hard time believing that Robert Kraft would actively try to sabotage Bill Belichick in getting another job. I think that maybe if the questions were asked to him, he was very honest about the way things ended here in New England. That may be an opportunity for Bill Belichick, to maybe have a little question as to how those things were handled. But at the same time, I also do believe that there is a respect here on both sides that not only exists today, it existed yesterday, and it'll continue to exist into the future. Bill Belichick is still very much a part of the culture the Patriots built here, and I don't look for any report at this point to shake that. Whatever is in, whatever Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick need to work out, I do believe will be worked out in the time, so that way when it's time to honor Bill for everything he's done here in New England, those will long since have been under the bridge. You saw it with Tom Brady. I think you'll see the same thing with Bill Belichick.
Last year, or I should say this offseason, there has been a bunch of players that's come and gone from the AFC East. Last year, the Patriots finished dead last in the AFC East. When you look at the moves that was made around the division, where are the Patriots in the AFC East this year?
This is not going to make Patriots fans happy, but I think they're probably looking at another last place finish. I mean, you look at what the Buffalo Bills have done. They're probably coming back down to earth a little bit more. And you can say that the New York Jets and the Miami Dolphins have the ability now to overtake that team for the division. I still don't look for the Bills to just relinquish it. They'll be in the hunt. You've got Josh Allen. You've got a talented defense. You've got guys on offense that can make plays. So I don't discount the Bills from being in the hunt for a division title. But the Jets have grown exponentially. You put Aaron Rodgers on that team under center, and you give him the opportunity to play a full season or even close to a full season. That right there elevates that team to potential division title status. Miami is a team that a lot of people are going to continue to sleep on, and I don't think that's wise. They've got a lot of good playmakers on that team. They've done, I think, a lot to help cultivate that defense, that offensive line, and give Tua Tagovailoa an opportunity to make plays with guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and there's still a lot of talent there. Patriots are not at that level yet, but what they are building is a team that can compete in the future. And as long as Patriots fans take a temperate approach to looking at this team this year, I do believe that they will be satisfied with the product that they see on the field. I think they'll see a better quality football than they saw last year. I think they're just looking at competition that they simply can't compete with right now.
It's good stuff. Mike DeBate, Locked On Patriots. Mike, we appreciate your time giving us a preview of things to come and a little recap of what they did in the draft. Thanks so much for your time.
Anytime, gentlemen. Thanks so much for having me on. Have a great week.
Yeah, you too. Mike DeBate was on the Bryan Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. CB is going to take us home with Tell the Truth after the break. It's Rothman and Ice right here on the Fan.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon.
The Fan. Tell the Truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks. Experience the Sports Lodge mentality.
All right, CB, what do you got cooked up today, my guy?
All right, it is the 1st of May, so Justin Timberlake was correct. It was going to be May. It ended up being May. But May, to me, starts the real run of months that have really warm weather, which I enjoy. I'm a 75 and sunny guy. Every day possible. I love it. But I want to ask you this. Tell the truth. Where does May rank in your warm weather months?
Ooh. See, for me, T, like June, July, August, that's when the muggy stuff starts to pop off.
Exactly.
And I'm good on that. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go with May and maybe the middle of September.
But are you worried about, because I know you're a big allergies guy.
Him has came back with vengeance,
ooh,
too.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So is that a detractor from putting May too high?
It is, CB, May. But the temperature, what you mentioned is what I love. Like the high of 75, you get that the low of so maybe 55.
So it's first for you.
It's something, I'm torn between late August and early September.
Me. Yeah, May is first for me because before all of that, it's the cold stuff.
Mm.
And then April is all rainy. May is the first one where you whip the grills out, the cookouts start happening, Cinco de Mayo, all of that stuff is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yes. So it's like it goes from darkness to just beautiful days outside. So that's why it's first to me, because it's that first turning point.
I can rock with that.
Yeah, right now, today is true.
All right, next up, we saw Kyren Williams went from a backup to a bell cow back in a stretch of like a couple of weeks there in the preseason heading into the first week of last season. But they just drafted Blake Corum, the Michigan running back. My question is, tell the truth. Will we still see a bell cow workload for Kyren, or will we see more of a split with Corum in the fold?
What round did he go, second or third?
I think it was third.
I want to say third. I'll check that for you.
I think it's third, too. I think they'll split carries. I think Kyren Williams still gets the majority of the carries, but the reason that I think they went and got Blake Corum is because Kyren got hurt last year. And when he got hurt, they had to go scramble to get like Royce Freeman, and it was somebody else they ended up getting. And I think they don't want to do that. They want to have somebody under contract, have two young guys that's under contract to have a 1-2 punch. Both of them are pretty much about the same skill set wise. And I think they can do the exact same thing, so you don't have to change what you want to do in your playbook. So I think Blake Corum gets some touches. I do think that Kyren Williams is still the premier back there.
Kyren was lighting defenses up last year.
Won my fantasy for
me. My goodness, he was on it, man. I mean, the dude finished third in the league in rushing yards for them. We watched Blake, obviously, the last couple of years. A couple of years ago, he had that injury to end the year. Then last year, he looked pretty good. But a couple of years ago, before that injury, Blake was... He was the truth, man.
He
really was. So if they're getting that version of him back to pair with Kyren Williams, like, I'm really high on the Rams this year. I know they lost Aaron Donald, but I love what they did. Drafted a couple guys from Florida State on
both
that D-line.
Yeah, D-tackling the D-end.
Yeah, Braden Fisk and Jared Verse and this the weapons. If Cooper Kupp stays healthy.
That's the biggest thing.
That's it. If he stays healthy with Puka Nacua.
If Matt Stafford stays healthy, because he'd be the one that I'd be worried about.
That's true.
At some point, he's got to go off the cliff, right?
I don't know, man. He just got that. He's blessed with that arm.
He does.
If they keep him upright, he's going to produce.
And he's with Sean McVay. He's just,
I like them. I might pick them to come out the NFC.
Whoa. Over San Fran?
We got a long way to go. I said I might. We got a long way to go, but I like him a lot. I really do.
It's hot.
Like him a lot.
It's hot. Don't pay him no attention, y'all. It's hot outside.
But Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, it's going to be a nice duo, but there's no doubt I think Blake Corum is definitely stealing reps from Kyren this year.
Why would you worry?
All right. I don't know what exactly it was a couple of days ago, but I saw something about like maybe a national hot chicken day or something in the past couple of days. But it made me think of things like wing sauce or sauce that you put on chicken, whether you put more of like a mild sauce or if you go all in for the hot sauce. So when you go on the thermometer of sauces at like a wing joint, how high or how hot are you going?
Oh, three from the top. Three from the top is as high as I'm going. Because, you know, at the top is like the hottest. So three notches down. 1, 2, 3 under. Because the stuff that's at the top, like the 1 and the 2.
It's not enjoyable.
It's not. Yeah, like, it's not. Literally just spice in your.
And pain.
Yeah. Like why would you want to do that? Right, I don't even really get to taste it. Mm-hmm. So I want to sit back. I want my nose to sweat just a little bit. Yeah. Maybe I got to take my hat off because the top of my head is sweating. But I want to enjoy the chicken. So three notches from the top.
I usually don't go past medium.
Oh, you got to cut that out.
I usually don't go past medium. I love the taste of buffalo sauce, but I don't like going through some of the pain that comes with eating super hot sauces. So, yeah, I don't go past medium, but I love a good wing sauce. You can put that on a lot of things, man.
Yeah.
A lot of things and be living well.
I'm a jerk chicken type of guy.
Ooh, wee.
Why you always lying?
All right, yesterday we discussed the most touchdown passes for a rookie quarterback. This time we will ask you this. Tell the truth. Which rookie wide receiver receives the most reception touchdowns?
Boy. So we got
somebody that we ain't going to think of that was like a fifth round pick.
So I'm not going to go with Adunze. Too many miles to feed.
Yeah.
Marvin's got a really good chance to do this.
He does.
They do have Trey McBride, who's a good tight end.
But he's the guy.
He is the guy. And then you get to some of the guys at the bottom of the first round. Xavier Worthy, Ricky Pearsall.
No.
Ladd McConkey?
Well.
Where did he go again?
He's with the Chargers. He's attached to Herbert, and they don't really have.
But he spreads the ball. Herbert spreads the ball around.
Then you got Zaylor Leggett, who's going to Carolina. Man, CB brought up a
Carolina don't have nobody.
That's why I brought him up. Could Keon Coleman do it attached to Josh Allen?
They ain't got nobody.
I'm going with Marvin. I'm going to play it safe. I'm going with Marvin. He and Kyler, I think, are going to have some fun this year. Who you got?
Dang, that's a good pick. That's probably going to be the right pick. But I like to be spicy a little bit. I'm going to go with Xavier Leggett because they ain't got nobody else but him anyways. So there
you're not a big fan of like Adam Thielen?
Like I said, they ain't got nobody but him anyways.
And the truth shall set
set you free.
Before we leave, if you missed Adam Schefter, Max Chadwick talking college football, Mike DeBate talking New England Patriots, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you, T. Appreciate you as always, man. Thanks for your time.
Oh, no problem, man. We got to do it again sometime soon.
No doubt. CB, great job on the board. Folks, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you. We'll be back tomorrow at high noon. It's been Rothman and Ice right here on The Fan.
We're the highest rated sports radio station in America. There's no joke there. We just are. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. This is a Fan Action Update.
This Action Update is brought to you by Tipico Gambling Promo, 1-800-GAMBLER. The Cavs find a way to pull off the win last night and take a 3-2 lead in the series against the Magic. Cleveland was minus 200 on the money line, did not cover the 4.5. The Bucks and 76ers both win as underdogs to stay alive and force game sixes. Tonight, the Celtics are a 14-point favorite over the Heat, and the Mavs are a 3-point favorite over the Clippers. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Buddy Wells. Starting with baseball, the Reds look to take the series over the Padres this afternoon. First pitch in San Diego is at 4:10. Graham Ashcraft is on the bump. The Guardians are in Houston again tonight to face the Stros. That one will get underway at 8:10. Tristan McKenzie's on the mound for Cleveland. In soccer, the Crew are on the road against Monterrey for the second leg of the CONCACAF Champions Cup semifinals. Columbus heads into tonight, leading in the aggregate 2-1. Kickoff is at 10:15. Two game fives in the NBA playoffs tonight. Miami's at Boston at 7:30. The Celtics lead that series 3-1. And the Clippers host the Mavericks at 10. That series is even at 2 games apiece. And we have two game fives in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. Vegas is at Dallas at 7:30. That series is even at 2-2. And the Kings are at the Oilers at 10. Edmonton leads that series 3-1. This update is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Give yourself a goal of losing 40 pounds by the 4th. It's doable, it's easy, and